Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I'm down to my last $2. This chick to my, she want mink coats and diamond rings, a black navigator and things.
Cadillac Joe, baby boy on the set. Hey, it's way out Friday. Freaky Friday, just got paid. Big face honey, because my baby needs some shoes and get her hair done and nail. If y'all can understand what I'm talking about, give me a heck yeah. What's going on, baby boy? Where you at?
Heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Baby boy.
Yes, sir. Man. I feel magnificent tonight. How you feel, brother?
Man, I'm feeling with both hands, baby. Talking about let's get it, please, baby. Big head hunted, baby. The old lady done told me what she need. I got to get it.
Man, you got to have them go-heads. You ain't got them go-heads. This is an expensive thing in this world, 2014.
Hey, you already know the lick, baby boy. What else can I say to you? How you doing this evening? How was your week, baby boy? You have a constructive week?
Pretty much, man. I had a little stress. I had a little happiness, and the end of the week turned out happy, so I'm magnificent right now. I'm above the ground. I'm my heart pumping good. I made me a few hundred. You dig? I'm moving forward, baby.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about right there, baby boy, keeping it 100. Hey, Kev, how you feeling out there, Kevin? Kevin ain't on the mic. I thought he was on the mic with that big head 100. I want to tell him thanks a lot. I needed that today because that's what I had to get old lady, some of them big ones. So what else is going on, baby boy? Talk to the lack, man. First of all, I'm getting out the shop, man, with the Escalade. I'm bringing it out, so I see you pulling up. I just want you to know that I had to sparkle it up, man, and ride in this Escalade 015, man, with these 30 on there and be what we call champagne toast, baby.
Hey, Cadillac, you know what? I think tonight's show should be about fuel consumption and a 660 run or a 1320 run. I want to talk about fuel consumption, and it doesn't matter if you got a good fuel pumped down in your carburetor or good fuel pumped down in your injectors. Going down to 660 or the 1320. We're going to talk about fuel consumption tonight.
Fuel consumption is, baby boy. That's what you want to talk about. We'll talk about a little of this, a little of that. Let's bring it, get it cracking. I say, man, let's talk about this. Talk about what's on your mind tonight. We got any callers out there?
Cadillac.
Yes, sir.
What is going on, y'all? Baby boy,
hey,
what up?
What's
going
up,
man?
Hey,
what
Stoke,
up,
what up, man?
What's going on, y'all?
What's the business with you, baby?
Nothing, man. On my way to the town, man. Get ready for the race tomorrow, man.
Oh, okay. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Hey, that real thing going to happen next weekend, though.
Huh?
I say that real race going to be next week, though. Let it hang out and do what it do.
Hey, it's going to be a real one tomorrow, too. We're going to have one next week. And the week after, I think the week after that, we got two races back-to-back.
Yeah, we got three. We got, what is four? No, it's three. You got Lil Tony. You got Donye and Big Dre.
I'm looking forward to all three of them.
That's what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Y'all ain't
going. I'm
going to
41 tomorrow. Y'all going to be there?
No, I won't be there.
Man, it's going to go down tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm going to miss out, man. I have to work, man. I got these wheels kicking my tail, man, so I'm going to have to work, man. I hate I missed it, but it is what it is. My bills come first before pleasure, so. I have to do what I got to do, big strokes. Man, I might not go to sleep tonight. I can't wait to get back to mom. Yeah, I wish I could make it, man, but I was trying to make it, man, but my kids go to private school, so all they do need to be paid, so I need to work and try to take care of my couple of things around the house and stuff like that, so I have to try to put this money back more instead of going to the track, you know?
Yeah. First thing first, Joe. No question.
You know? Yeah, so our topic tonight, Big Stokes, is fuel consumption. You think that matters in the run with the 660 and the 1320? Do you think that makes a difference or a car faster with your fuel having go down the track? You think you lose more fuel with just idling a car or making a pass?
Oh, man. I'm pretty sure with a car just idling, you ain't burning that much, but as you're going down the track, yeah, you burn a lot of gas as you're going down the track. Yeah.
Now I had this conversation with a tuner about a week or two ago, and he was saying if you got a car that runs a certain number, and you got to have a certain type of fuel consumption as far as the idling part. That's why they in the MHRA they have certain gallon tanks on top fuel cars and funny cars. And you got a 18 gallon. You got an 18 gallon. You got an 18 gallon tank on a top fuel dragster, as well as a 14 gallon fuel tank. And he says that the reason that they don't idle the car as far as the reason they roll them up and stuff like that is because when they burn them out, they take so much fuel out of them, and then when they make a pass, they take almost all of the fuel out of the gas tank. So it's waste. It's waste. It's the fuel consumption that the cars take that makes the car run down the 1,000 foot or what have you, whatever the NHRA or the whatever you're running.
What you feel about that, brother? Yeah, like I asked you there first, but you said these same things, just like I said. So you got to do the burnout and all that, bag up some backstage, up all that. Yeah, it's a lot of gas on that, on anything. Well, we were trying to get these callers in tonight, and figure out, you know, a typical dough slammer
that we got. What they got, five gallon fuel cells on them?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, like 5 gallon fuel cells or something, stuff like that. They take the fuel tank, the actual the tank that the car came with from the factory, right?
No, it's more than 5 gallon. Back from the back. But probably one like one of the 5 gallon fuel cells you're talking about.
Right.
Yeah, because one, yeah. I don't think no car covered no 5 gallon. Not from the factory.
Not from the factory, right. They take, when you mess with a car that's pretty fast. I'm pretty sure that they use a fuel cell more so than a gas tank, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty much so.
Because of the weight, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
Okay. Okay, Big Stump. You say you can't wait to go. You can't wait. You ain't going to go to the street tonight, huh?
Man, I'll tell you, man, I just want to go see the race, that's all. I know it's going to happen to Bond, so.
Yeah. I wish I could come and support, but I can't, man. I have to work, man. I got other engagements, man, as far as my family and, you know, things of, you know, that nature and stuff like that, so. I got to do what I got to do, bro.
Yeah, no doubt. I'll be out there, man, going up there to support you, man. Going down. Going down to Bob. And we got next weekend. I got some weekend out of the tank, man. So we got some racing up here. I'm going to tell you like this here. It's good racing all over, baby. I can't wait till we get at the house here. Make it get down.
Yeah, you know, when it wants to start cooling, it's getting cool up here, you know, go down south, you know, take a trip down south.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's just about, you know, just, how would you say, moving around with it, bro. That's all, moving around with it.
Yeah.
That's what you got to do. And this weather, just not starting to come around.
And one more thing, Cadillac, whoever listening in, Big Stokes, myself, Cadillac, go to Clocks Off. That's our sponsor. This is the website. It's free. And check it out, man. We got T-shirts, hats, and we got some hoodies coming out. We got some Health and Done It. And he said we're going to have some shoes, too. So check out the website, Fox Off. And Big Sham was last night. Me and Cadillac Joe tonight. We got Uncle Larry and D tomorrow night. And cleaning it up would be Motor City Mafia, Lil Tony, and Junior. And man, we gonna do what we need to do. And like I said, I'm looking forward to the fun. Maybe next week I can get out and support. And matter of fact, I will be able to support because I've been having a couple dollars here. I've been putting a little bit more gas in my car than I would this week. So it is what it is.
Yeah. It's cracking the bar, though. Know that. Just, man, they got some locked-in races, they know all that. That's what really make you want to go. When you know who locked in and who going to go, man, that's what make it even more better.
Yeah.
That's why, you know, it ain't like you're going for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right. But, you know, I said, I hope the guys have some fun tomorrow. I'm pretty sure they will. They got the guys from the South.
Any fuses like that?
Loud talking.
That was some in that
team
thing you bought. No, you bought a variety.
So, 10 years about it. And,
I don't have nothing this long.
I hope them guys have a good race, and I hope them guys are safe. I hope them guys come up here from the South. I hope they
appreciate
come
you go hustling. Grab it.
I thought we had got that other place, remember? So that's the main thing. Hey, Cal, I mute your mic for a minute.
Okay.
So I guess hope, you know, them guys, you know, the guys that's coming from the South, going to the races, and the guys that's in the city going to the race don't have any flats, the police don't stop them, and, you know, make it to the race and make it back and have some fun, man. That's all it's about, buddy.
Yeah.
I want you to do one thing for me, man. I want you to get out there and burn rubber one time for me, baby. Because, man, no lady got me tied down, man. You see I had to put that record on there, man.
He called the shots on me today. Hey, keep it
100,
Cadillac. I ain't doing no rubber
fighting.
I'm doing a little better, though. I'll bet something for you.
All right, man. I appreciate it, man. The old lady got me doing the hustle, man, so I got to do the next thing. Bustle. What's up? That's all.
Keep
a happy wife. Keep a happy life. That's all, man. So everything good. Hey, man, we're going to open up a few mics to do all we got out there.
All right, I'm going on mute, yo.
Okay, then.
Cool.
Hey, we got any callers out there? Any mics open?
No, somebody pressed the wrong button unless they scurred. You know what I'm talking about? Sound like a baby one.
See what's going on with it. What's the deal? Where they at? Well, baby boy, I guess everybody just doing their thing right now, so we're going to have to hold it down and keep it moving. Take a pause for the calls. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's a lot to talk about, Cadillac. It's a whole
other. Ain't no doubt, man. Now, you say this fuel system. What did you say? That fuel system? I can't pronounce it, bro. So I'm gonna just keep it real. Well, I know, you know, a lot of cars burn a lot of fuel going down the track.
Right. That's why I wanted to bring it up because me and Kevin had this conversation. A couple of more guys had this conversation about, you know, why do these door slammers, as far as you know. the cars that we run have fuel cells instead of coke from the property. So I was trying to find out that if anybody that was on the line that can enlighten me a little bit more about this fuel consumption thing. You know, within the run, you know, I know it's a lot. You know, just to start a car up, it takes a few packs. If you got a carburetor, it takes a few packs to get the fuel up to the carburetor bowl to fire that thing up.
Now my question is what's the fuel cell? What's the biggest? The smallest fuel cell can get about a 3 gallon or 2 gallon. Is that the smallest?
I think it's a 3 gallon. Don't quote me on that. I think it's a 3 gallon. I think it's a 5 gallon. I think it's a 7. I think it's a 7 gallon. But they said they like half. So you say 5.5, 7.5, 3.5. So I'm not for sure. Don't quote me on it. I might be wrong. But that's why I wanted to know if anybody, you know, was on the line. They can, you know, enlighten me on what's happening.
Yeah, because my whole thing is, like, if you got a, say you got a 565 or a 525 or whatever, how much fuel does it take to go down the track with one of them? Would a 2 gallon be or a 3 gallon be sufficient enough? How many passes can you get? Can you only get one pass out of that? Or that's, you know, I never looked at it like that. I always got a big tank and don't worry about it.
Well, you know, a lot of people gonna say, it depends on what kind of car you running, or what kind of setup you got, and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? And then I think it's deferred by the weight too, because when they scale a car, you can't scale a car with an empty ass tank. I don't think.
Now let me ask you this: do weight make a big factor in that?
Well,
I don't know, man. You know, I'm new to this here. I'm just a part changer, man. I'm trying to find out how I go.
Well, that's the reason I wanted to ask you, because in Top Fuel they got different size tanks. They got 18 and they got 14 gallons. So I was trying to see if anybody out there knew. And we can get, you know what I'm saying, more depth. We can get more depth about this conversation. I think it's a vital conversation about, you know, these cars going down these tracks, and people that don't know, like myself and you, you know what I'm saying, want to get, you know, more enlightened on this fuel consumption.
Because I was thinking, if you got a smaller motor, it don't take that much gas, but then I was informed that if you can have a smaller motor, you're still gonna use a lot of fuel. So I guess you have to weigh the car and go through do the analysis on that and find out exactly where it's at and everything, and then you can carry it. But like I say, some people, I see like some guys, they had like a 2 or 3 gallon tank in the front of their car, and they can do maybe 1 or 2 passes with it.
Right, and then you know, as far as the once you make a pass and stuff like that, till you make it back to the pit, you just off running off, you know, just basically idling the car just idling itself, and you just cruising down the return road just to get back to your pit, and how much gas you think you would burn, you know?
What's that, baby?
What's happening, D?
Man, doing my usual run as usual, but I just have to hear you guys talking. Listen, there's always a way to determine.
Hello? D, you
there? Okay, let me try this again.
Okay,
my phone, what would it do? There's always a way to determine the amount of fuel that you will use. But it's gonna be hard as hell. Most guys you see, all the guys I've ever seen that had a little small fuel cell in the front, 1 gallon, 2 gallon, 3 gallons, it's normally for the nitrous, And I haven't raced in years, but just to give you a little insight on how that go. I used to use 3.5 gallons, and I was a low 10-second car. I used 3.5 gallons of fuel just to make the burnouts, make the run, and come back to return road. So that's going to be a determining factor that you probably would never come down to a total conclusion on how much fuel, because each car has a variation in it. Each car is different. Each engine is different. Its carburetor size make a difference. Air to fuel mixture makes a difference in how much fuel you would use on, say, a pass. You know, because you got to cycle in your burnout fuel, your run, and your return fuel. So that is definitely a way to do it. I'm not knowledgeable enough to tell you guys exactly how it will go, but I can tell you it's harder than thinking of where to figure. Because each car is just the fact cubic inches make a difference. You know, a bigger engine will burn more fuel. A bigger carburetor would dump more fuel.
And see, that's what I was trying to figure out, because I see a lot of guys with a five gallon fuel cell in their trunk where they took the actual stock gas tank out, and they got a fuel cell back there. And, you know, I was figuring out, like, a guy goes to the track and get a five-gallon drum of 110 or 100 or whatever, 116 or whatever he's burning in his car. And, I was trying to figure the mathematics on how many passes you can do with the, you know, you going down either the 660, do that make more power in your car, or the 1320 if you're burning more gas because you're going a longer distance. The shorter distance, if you're going faster, a lot of guys, we having this conversation on these shows about a lot of guys say, well, it's less wear and tear on your motor if you go a shorter distance, but it's a lot of fuel you're burning also. So I was trying to figure that out.
In a theory, I mean, just doing a theory, you would have to burn less fuel in a 660 than you would in a 1320 because you're doing it in half. But the total amount of fuel to say a car would actually burn, like I said, there's a lot of variations in it. And one of the determining factors will be the engine size, the carburetor size, the head flow. All that makes a difference. What type of burnout you've done, all that makes a difference. Jetting size makes a difference. You can have a 1050 on, I can have a 1050 on. You might have some 80 jets, I might have some 88s. You know, all that makes a difference in what their car does when it comes to burning their fuel, for the noise, you know, when it comes to burning their fuel. You know, so that's... Okay, here I go again. You know, like I said, my phone do what it want to do. There's no one determinant factor that what you could say that two identical cars is identical to eight, you know. The same engine build you two 550s, and you both carry 850. Both put 88 jets in. One might use more fuel than the other. There's just no way. Baby, you there?
Well, see, that's what I was talking about. I wasn't sure. Because I know, like, I see some guys, they have, like, a 3-gallon or a 5-gallon tank on their car, like, in the front of it. And I was wondering how many passes can you do. It looked like you can't get no more than maybe one pass out of it. Because how much does it take to go down the track?
Now, there's something new there, Joe, because, see, when I was racing, we put a small fuel cell in the front for nitrogen. And you had your fuel cell in the trunk for your car to run. On the engine wise, fuel cells originally came around because they're smaller, less weight, more safer. You keep your gas from slushing around with the fiber, you know, from splashing around the tank. And now I hear and see guys are putting them up front, you know, that's something new on me there. I know a lot, but not everything. But I do know that it's virtually, like I said, there's a way to do it, but it's virtually impossible to do it because each engine will definitely burn different. You know, there's just no two engines alike.
Okay.
That's what I wasn't sure about. See, you know, hey, yeah. Man, I'm like this. Here's what these shows up. I for to ask questions and, you know, find out
techniques
and, you know, come up with combinations.
Yeah, and you got a good one going. Yeah, that's a good one going. Actually, I myself going to venture into that for you tonight and probably tomorrow on this show. I'm going to try to have you a better answer than what I can give you now.
But, okay. Man,
I mean, talking to one of the world's greatest engine builders, my guy Ted, and I know from being around him, no two engines are identical, even though he did both the identical way. No two engines are running the same. You know, even you look at the Pro Stocks. Pro Stocks will take their spare engines, and sometimes their spare run faster than the one that they thought would run in the engine, you know, in the car. Or they'll put one in to qualify with, and then take that out and put another one in, and it runs faster for the event. But if you run fast, you burn more fuel. You're going to have to. And yeah, even in the dragster, a lot of fuel is wasted, you know.
Right. That's the reason I asked it, because I was at the NHRA event, and I went to messing with Antron Brown for Juan Schumacher Racing, and I asked him, I say, Tron, what are you doing? He said, I'm mixing the fuel. He said, I'm mixing the fuel. What's all going on? I say, man, you've been putting so much gas in that thing. What's that gas tank on this thing, man? He says, it's an 18-gallon gas tank. I say, man, it's a lot of gas. He say, it takes a lot of gas just to burn the car out. He say, by the time I stage and make the pass with the car completely out of gas. When I get to the return road, before I get to the return road, get the car completely out of gas. I say, are you serious, man? He say, you see those big headers on the side of the thing make all that power. He say, that would make me ask the question, because I wanted to see if anybody out there knew, you know what I'm saying, how much gas consumption they was really using. A lot of guys say from the south, they say, well, we go faster in the eighth mile, and we have less salt than we draw in the whole 1320. So that's the reason I asked the question tonight.
Well, you know, I have a different agenda there, and different theories, different thoughts on some of the things that the guys in the south do. I'm different from the guys in the north do, so there you go. I don't think it has anything to do with it for the north or south. I think it has something to do with knowledge and way of thinking. You know, each mind thinks different. Each brain works different, even though we are the same. As far as what Juan was doing, those cars make so much power until they just throw a lot of power away. They have to generate X amount of thousand of horsepower just to get out of the track with so many horsepower, or so much horsepower. And a lot of horsepower that you see those cars, they tell you, like, you say this car makes 8,000 horsepower. Well, you're only going down the track with probably 5 or 4. He's throwing a lot of it out there. They can't consume it all. Now, that's where you see a lot of fuel is wasted. They have no choice, though. In order to do what they're doing, they have no choice but waste it that way. And that's just the way those things are set up.
I went over to Jack Beckman. He part of Dallas Schumacher Racing, and I asked him what size fuel cell he had on his car, and he had a 14-gallon. I asked Jack, does it make, is it a weight? Because I say Tron uses 18-gallon. He say there's some funny cars that use 18-gallon too. He says part of the weight. He says part of the weight and it's part of how they tune the car and stuff like that into the run. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
all that adds in to tune the ass in. You know, the better your car is tuned, the less fuel, believe it or not, the less fuel the car can burn and generate more power. And you can take another engine that's built identical to yours. The more fuel it'll burn, it'll generate more power. It's just an iffy. I mean, it's just an iffy. You know? Iffy and tuning is. A lot of it has to do with the tuning. A whole lot of it has to do with the tuning. The more efficiency you get your car, the faster it runs. But as far as fuel itself go, I just don't think no one. I think there's a way, but I honestly believe that no one can ever come on air and say, well, it can only burn this amount, or shoot, it only burn this amount. I big didn't want anyone to do that.
That's the reason we got people that's in this world racing world that calls certain people dumb and don't know what the hell they talking about. And man, he don't know what the hell he sounds.
Let me say what dumb is. Hold on, baby. Let me say what dumb is. This is dumb, and I learned this very early in class. The dumbest person in the world is the one that chooses not to ask the question. That's the dumbest person in the world. The smartest man in the world is the one that chooses to ask. That's the smartest man in the world. Now, let me show you something in this world that we live in called grudge racing. Some of us feel that controversy is just what it has to do, has to be, in order for this thing to do and be what it should be. I checked in myself with the young man to get a phone number. And he gave me the number. After he did it, I think he did the stupidest thing in the world. He felt like it was a big old joke, you know. Well, he felt like it was a joke because he felt like he had to have some controversy going just to get some popularity or something, I don't know. The bottom line, man, is stupidity. Some of the things that we do and say in this grudge racing game. It's stupid. Instead of joining together, we push apart. So don't let no one tell you, that you asked a stupid question. Even if you just heard, listen, man, if you just heard someone answer the question that you wanted to ask, you may not have gotten everything out of what he said. So ask it again. Because here come Kellogg Joe on, or here come Larry on, or here come Kid on, or Drag or someone, Wick or someone like that. They might be able to answer that question that you want to ask that I just answered for you and give you a little more clarity in it than you get when I answered it. So it's only one dumb question. That's the one not asked.
Well, that's the reason I asked it. Because I don't want to confuse nobody. I don't want to be confused in this thing because the questions I ask is questions that I want to know because it's questions that people don't ask on these shows. And the reason I brought it up because you have so many people that's been around drag racing so long, they so smart, they might be fucking dumb. So I don't want to curse or belittle nobody. I just try to ask questions to enlighten myself because I don't know. And it's okay for me to say I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you knew everything, you would never ask no one nothing. You know, Sir Abbott Einstein asked questions. That's the only way you're going to know. So whatever you think, if it crosses your mind and you feel like you want to answer to it, especially if it's pertaining to racing, when your show is on, that's the time to act. And if we did what we should do, and that's everyone around the grudge, now I won't say grudge racing, but around the drag racing world, flood these phones when these shows are open because that's what they're here for. They're not here to cause controversy. These shows, to my knowledge, was here to enlighten. So when you ask that question, if we flood these calls, if we flood these shows like we should with calls, someone on here should be able to enlighten you in what you're asking, and should and will. You know, but if you never ask, you can't. You can't get it. The old saying that closed mouth never fed. A closed brain would never get it. When you got to open up and ask, you're doing the right thing, ask.
You got a very good point there because I was trying to, you know, I wanted to come on tonight and put some knowledgeable in this thing because I be hearing these people talk and they can only tell me certain things or talk around the actual thing that's going on, and it's grudge racing. It's racing. It's racing. It's period. You know, everybody, they try to trick everybody, and this and that, and this and that. You don't find no gentlemen in this racing game no more, man. You got a few with drag.
Well, listen, the trickery, baby. The trickery is something that's been in racing for as long as it will always be. That's not gonna go anywhere. But to get back to your question that you asked,
This drag, I'm just letting them know I'm listening. I ain't going to be able to stay on too long because I got to go step
up. I'm going to try to get you in right now, Rick. Maybe you can give him a little more than I gave him. I'm going to try to get you in right quick. They asked me a question about they want to know how much fuel could be burned in a pass, really. Like I told them, there's just no permit. One way to determine that is too many variations in it, from what I know. You know,
well,
exactly.
He
want to
know how much fuel be burned in a quarter mile?
Yeah.
Now, listen, Dre, I asked, my topic tonight was fuel consumption in a pass, either 660 or 1320 pass. Now, it's a lot of guys that they say that when you run a 660 pass, which is the 8 mile, it's less wear and tear on your motor. And a guy that's running the 1320 quarter mile, which is 2.5 blocks, they say,
two blocks, 1320,
okay, I'm sorry, Greg, which is 2 blocks. They say it's more wear and tear on the guy that's going down the track more. So I was trying to find out how the fuel consumption, and do you burn more fuel, and do you go faster in a eighth of a mile, burning less fuel, or you burn?
Well, yeah, definitely gonna burn a little bit more fuel going an eighth of a mile. I mean, going a quarter mile than an eighth of a mile, but it ain't gonna be no whole lot more. It really uses up the biggest fuel, you know, towards its initial through the burnout leading the starting line and everything. You know, actually, an engine off the starting line is fat, you know, and then towards the run, it leans and teams out. So it's burning a little bit less of fuel probably from 660 on, but it's still going to burn some, a little bit more than going to the 8th mile. But the answer to the question, if you want to know how much fuel do a car, it would say like my car was at the time was running, the car that last year I had could run 670 at 206 mile an hour. It would burn almost maybe a little over half a gallon, to a half a gallon and a gallon of fuel, but. I would say a little bit less than a gallon. I've had other folks I called.
Rick, I'm going to cut you off, but when you said burn half a gallon, is that on your run down to 1320, or are you not counting your burnout and your return?
That's everything. I don't, you know, I click it at the finish line, so we pull it back. But we click it at the finish line and we pull it back, but that's doing the burnout, you know, burnout procedure and everything and making the run. But it you can definitely... It uses up at least a half a gallon.
See, that's what I was saying. It all depends on the efficiency of the car. Because you run, way faster.
Definitely,
than I ran, and I would go through over 3 gallons. You know, in between the burnout, the run, and the return, low ride will go through 3 gallons of fuel. So, you know, it's all. I think a lot of the efficiency has to do with how much fuel you're going to burn.
Well, you know, how clean the engine is, how close you got your tune-up, you know, that all matters, you know. No doubt a leaner engine going to run faster, but one thing an engine does, when you let the load down on it, it goes fat for, you know, momentarily, and then it starts to clean up. You know, that's just how it happens.
So since we got both of you guys are knowledgeable about this question, this topic that I got going on, can you weigh your tire to scale with no fuel in it?
In pro stock, you got to weigh 2350, bro. So the key to doing that is to make your car heavy. You want it a little bit heavy, so when you come across the finish line and come back to the scales, you want to be somewhere above 2350. If you're 2349, your run is disqualified. So, yes, you want to be a little bit heavy with the fuel, but that's only within reason because your fuel cell only carries 2.5 gallons. Some of them, 2.5 gallons or 2 gallons or whatever it is. You know, I try to run the smallest cell I can in my car because it don't really burn that much. Any of them cars don't really burn that much fuel anyway.
Right, right. So, like, when I asked Antoine Brown, he runs top fuel dragster. He runs top
them
fuel things dragster.
Burns, them things burn like 10, 15 gallons a run.
Yeah, yeah.
That's nitro, though, bro. That's something totally different. That is nitro. A drum of nitro is heavier than a drum of gas. Nitro is different. It's totally different. Both of them 55 gallons, but the nitro is heavier. Figure that.
Because I kept seeing those officials. They kept on ordering gas and stuff like that. And once they brought them over there, they looked like they needed a equipment to bring them over there to shut them down.
Well, what the problem, when you see them with officials over there when they're getting fuel, is because you got to use it. All of them have to run the same fuel, and they have to buy the fuel from the track. That is only because the track get a percentage. They plug with VP. So VP is their brand of fuel to use, and the track, NHRA, the sanctioning body, they got it mandated that you only use VP fuel. Now, what I'm saying to you hasn't been told by NHRA that that's why they do it, but it's obvious to know that they want you to use only VP fuel is only because it's beneficial for them. You can't, there was a time you could bring your own fuel to the track, but you can't do that no more. Not in those professional classes.
All the nitro cars
and stuff, you got to mix it at the track, you know, pretty much. But I'm sure some people got ways around that stuff, but they got a percentage that the percentage mixture that you have to run in the fuel car. But I'm not no expert on that, bro. I don't know a whole lot about them fuel cars because I've never really been into that. But I can tell you about pro stocks and cars of that nature.
Okay. Well, since I got you on this topic, what about you? I seen guys with fuel cells in their truck, and they took the actual stock gas tank out of their car. What is that for? Getting less weight out of the car, or what is it? What is it? Getting the car more efficiency by the fuel cell, or?
Well, the fuel cell itself is safer, you know. And then, it's safer far as in a crash or something. You know, a metal gas tank, you know, in a crash could get, you know, metal could spark and ignite. So they basically use the plastic fuel cell, but now they've gone to the aluminum one. They definitely are lighter than a factory gas tank. And things like that. They've taken them from the rear and putting them in the front. Nowadays, it's for ballast purposes. I think, to my opinion, you know, I don't know this to be law, but they put them in the front of the cars now because for ballast purposes, and not only for ballast purposes, they said that they're a little bit safer up front. I can't see how they're safer up front when you hit a wall head on or something like that, you know, and the fuel cell
also less travel for the fuel, Rick, when they put them up front.
Yeah. Well, I just know that when I first started running Pro Stock, bro, all our gas tanks and stuff was in the trunk. You know, all this stuff was in the trunk. And as of the late 80s and the early 90s and stuff, they started moving the cell to the front.
That's a very, very good, knowledgeable take that you had on the topic, you and Mr. D. Drag. Can you tell us about your race that's going on at Byron in a few weeks?
Yeah, August the 2nd and the 3rd is the third annual Big Drag Grudge Race weekend. As always, we have that race the first weekend of August, whatever Saturday and Sunday, whatever days it land on. I don't really be knowing because I don't check the calendar, but it's always the first Saturday and Sunday of August. This is actually the third one I've had. This one, I've had several races at Byron before, but this one has became the one that I have at the same time every year. So for the people that want to come racing, we got August the 2nd and the 3rd. Basically, the Saturday is the 2nd. It's a bunch of testing and tuning and grudge racing. There will be qualifying for the quick cars and things of that nature, but Sunday is the shootout and all the big stuff that's going on Sunday. Now, as people know, there's another race that's been that's being put on the 2nd, which is that Saturday over in Cordoba. It's Donnier's race. So what I'm asking, guys, you know, if you guys going to come to my race, probably around 1 o'clock Saturday afternoon, 2 o'clock, we're going to take off and go over to Donnier's race in Cordoba, which ain't too far from Byron where my race is at. So let's try to support Donnier, you know, and what he's doing. And just unfortunate that, you know, the dates, his date coincide with mine, but we're going to make the best of it, you know. And that's what we're going to do that Saturday, and then we're going to come back and have a full day of racing on Sunday. You know, just Donnier and them as well, they're going to come over Sunday. So, you know, if, for the people that's talking about what's going on here and there, this we ain't mad at each other, you know, it happened to fall in that place and stuff like that, and we're going to make the best of it.
Okay. Drag, you still offering the quick 16 like you always do, or when you
yes,
do
sir.
It on the race?
It'll be quarter mile, 6 second car shootout, and that's up to the racers. Do they want the clocks on or the clocks off? You know, it doesn't matter to me if the clocks is on or off with the quick 16 race. But I want to talk to the guys and see what they say. If they want them on, then they're going to be on. But I guarantee you there will be a bunch of 6 second runs.
Well, that's what's up. I always come out and I always enjoy myself and have a good time. Ate last year, bust myself, and sat up there and talked to you.
You're going to eat again this year. You're going to have steak like you had last year. You're going to have pork chops. You're going to have hot links and bratwurst and hamburgers and potato salad and jerk chicken. And we're going to see. I have an entourage of people that cook for me when we do this. And everybody brings food, you know, and everybody's welcome. I don't care who you are. You can, if you like me or you don't, you're still welcome to eat. You come over there and drink whatever you want to drink, as long as it's long, non-alcoholic beverages. That's the only thing that we're going to supply. Anybody that wants to have alcohol or beer, they would have to bring that themselves, but it's welcome as well. But what I want to say is that, you know, we have a trailer. You know, our race car trailer, we set our trailer up like like a cafeteria, and it's full of food, and everybody's welcome to come and eat as many times as they want to.
Well,
hey, Drag Melvin, man.
What's up, Mel?
You got it, man. Just sitting in, coming in on the show, supporting and everything, man. I'm ready to get over there to your race, man, and have some fun, man.
Hey, Mel, wait. I got something new for you, Mel. I got something new for you. Just in case that old Hemi, that Hemi close, but just in case that Hemi don't get ready, I got a guy dog, old Henry over there for you. I got old Henry.
All right. What kind of motor in it?
Got an old Henry motor in it too.
All right. Well, whatever you gonna be driving it?
I got to drive that with the gravy, man. You.
Okay, cool. No problem. As long as you in there, I don't care. That's good.
We gonna have us a good time. I made sure that I'm gonna have something ready to race. You know, my Hemi car's almost done though, bro. It's almost done. I just seen it today. Unfortunately, one of my good buddies, my longtime friend Mike. Everybody know Mike. He broke his arm pretty bad today, so I'm at the hospital for the walk in here. He's just getting out of surgery. But I just want to let y'all know that I want to call and support Baby and Cadillac Show. That, you know, a lot of times I don't speak, but I'll be on here listening. But if you need me, B, y'all send me a text, and when I get out of the hospital, I'll try to get back on if it ain't too late.
That's what's up, Drag. I really do appreciate listening in and supporting the show, brother. I'll be there to support
okay.
you too, man, on your race, man.
Okay, we got to go because we got 6 minutes to get in with y'all, but I'll be hollering at y'all.
All
Yeah, I'll back, right, Greg, because I'm going to need some help from you. We'll talk about it. Go ahead and take care of that.
Okay, bro.
Okay.
All right, Melvin. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good, man. I'm doing good. I'm at work. Just got a little break going on, so I figured I'd get on here and talk for a few minutes with you guys, man. Fellowship and have some fun,
okay,
man. I'm just sitting back waiting to Drag's race,
okay,
cup, man. You see what he's talking about, man. Me and Drag going down that drag strip together, man.
I know you can't wait, can you, kid?
I can't wait. And it's going to be fun, you know.
And that's what it's all about. It's all about fellowshipping and having some fun and sitting back and you know, recollecting, having memories about this thing, you know.
Yep.
And our topic tonight was fuel consumption. And
I hear you. I've been listening ever since you started talking about it.
What do you feel about that, Mr. Melvin?
Well, it's a good topic that you got going on. I can't really, you know, how much fuel I've been burning all the time I've been racing. I don't really pay no attention. I just know, hey, when I get there, it run down through there real good, and I look at the slip, it went quick. I don't even pay that part no attention, really, you know. So it's kind of one of those things, you know. It kind of seems like if you're thinking about the top fuel dragsters, how much fuel they burn, the more fuel they burn is almost like the faster they can go. So I kind of think, like, the more fuel I can burn, maybe the faster I can go, too. So, you know, everybody
right,
got a different opinion on it.
Right. Well,
you know,
that's the reason I brought it up. I wanted to hear everybody's opinion about it. If anybody had any specs on it, I really wanted to see how, you know, certain guys, you know, tune their cars for certain things, because, you know, you got small blocks. I'm pretty sure I think a small block gonna burn just as much fuel as a big block, and he's racing a big block and a small block running each other. I think that small block gonna run just as much fuel than the big block, you know, trying to get past it.
Well, I figure, you know, you got that small block, it's going to turn more RPMs. Each time you open and close that cylinder, there's fuel going in there. So you got your average small block going to rev higher than some of the big blocks. We can't say pro stock because that's something totally different. But, you know, your average small block going to rev higher than the big blocks do. So you got more opening and closing times. Each time you open and close, that's more fuel you get to burn. So,
right.
Like I say, it's a good topic. I can, you know, just only, you know, off the top of my head, just think about, because it's opening and closing, how many times can you get it to open and close as it's going down through the revolutions and all of that each time, you know? So if we could sit here and do the math on how many times that motor opened and closed and how much fuel going in that cylinder, we could probably get closer to how much fuel you can burn. But I would say maybe, you know, you just go out there and run the car and then come back and however much fuel you just burnt, that's how much, you know, you're using to go down the drag strip. No, it has
right,
to kind of like
right,
monitor
yeah.
Like, like my man was saying, he took him 3.5 gallons to do his run.
Right.
So
you know that says a lot about certain motors, because you know about a Buick and a Chevy being GM. I know both of them are GM parts and stuff like that. It takes more for a Buick motor to burn more gas to go down a run than a Chevrolet, maybe. I don't know. That's the reason I asked, because I don't want to, you know, sound like I was going over nobody's head about asking the question. You know what I'm saying, Mr. Miller?
Right. I understand. You asked a good question, though. You know, you're bringing up a good point, and it's your point. It's something you want to know, so you have to ask that question about it. You know, for me, I don't, like, if I would have brought it up, I don't think I would have brought it up, because it ain't never really matter to me. I'm going to just make sure I don't run out of fuel. make sure I got something in there and go make me another run, and I'm on my way. I know I go through 5 gallons of that Q16 pretty fast, and it's $100 a can. I'd like to figure out a way to get better fuel mileage.
Now listen, Mr. Melvin, if it took you 200, If you say you gonna spend $100 and you got and drag with you and then you go back to your people and he told you you should have bought two. You should have spent another $100. Would you spend the $100 just to whoop drag? Or have that thing to say, well, I whoop drag. I whoop drag. It cost me an extra $100 to whoop him, but I whoop.
Yeah, well, that's all it's gonna take. If I lose, then it's gonna take me an extra $100 to come back to beat him. I mean, yeah, I spend that $100 two or three times. That's all it's gonna take. I don't think it's gonna be that easy. But again, you know, you got a good topic going on, and like I said, you know, I'm just excited about this race that's coming up. I'm gonna be over there in Chicago tomorrow too. Because I got to come up and hang out with Tony Vines and them, you know, whenever he comes on this end of town. I come and hang out with him, fellowship with him, and we party in the pits together, you know. So I get a chance to see a bunch of the Southern boys tomorrow. I'll be over there. I'm at work now. When I get off of work, I'm going to hop in the car, and then I'll be on my way up 94 right on over there, you know.
Right. I see.
Party, have a good time all day tomorrow.
I just can't make it because I have to work. I got to do the same thing you at right now. I got to work. So it is what it is. I wish I could make it because I sure want to see Buck Naked and old DJ Grant and Tony Bounds again and talking ass TDT. Mess with him for a minute, but, you know, I ain't going to be able to make it. Man, can someone mute their mic? Hey, Kevin,
yeah, that's me with that noise. I'm finna mute.
Okay.
I'm at work. I'm finna mute it right quick. Hold on a second. Let me get back to it. All right, I'm going to go back on mute. I'll be back in a minute.
Okay, Mr. Melvin.
All right.
Cadillac Joe.
I'm right here, baby.
Talk about it,
Cadillac. Man, I'm just listening and get some info, man. Trying to learn something.
Trying to learn something.
I like
something
that, though. Hey, I like that.
See, hey, baby, I'm going to see if I get Wick on the phone. There's a young man that runs three or four different cars. Maybe he can give you a little insight on what they do for fuel. Let's see, I get the producer to key me in right quick.
Okay, that's cool. Kevin, do we got anybody else on the line that's pressed the run button? If anybody want to talk, they can talk to me. They can talk to me in Cadillac Joe. We can be there sitting around in Cadillac.
What up, though, baby boy?
What up, what's your baby? Who are we speaking with tonight, baby?
Oh, this hood. I just wanted to capitalize on that subject. What y'all need to do is it's cool. Listen, you gonna like it. I gotta find out the name of it because I'm over here. We messing with this car right now, so I can't. But go on YouTube and look up them. What Big Drag was talking about, the nitro cars with the 15-gallon tanks, they'll show a video.
No, actually, that what happened, Hood, I was at an NHRA event, right?
Uh-huh.
And I went to talking to Antoine Brown. And Antoine Brown, and I asked, like, damn, why the hell you pouring all this damn fuel in this little ass car? He's like, man, I got an 18-gallon tank on this car.
Uh-huh.
And then I went to Jack Beckman and asked Jack Beckman, and Jack Beckman had a 14-gallon tank on his car.
Yep.
So I was trying to find out, like, you know, guys having door slammers, that's what we promote, and that's what we only really can afford is door slammers as far as the fast cars in grudge racing is basically door slammers. They not no pro mods. You got a couple of pro mods and stuff like that, but I'm talking about the guys that really run, you know, the small tire cars and stuff like that, and the 29s, 33s and stuff like that. I was trying to ask, like, the fuel consumption in it. And what you say now? Go to where?
Yeah. Oh, you could go on YouTube and you could see they got cutaways where it'll show it drinking the fuel as they go down through the pass. And it's amazing. It's sweet, too. But I don't know how many different class cars they got, but you'll see it a lot on there. And I was like, wow, it looked cool. It looked cooler than a big dog because it actually show you how much it's drinking, and it's like, you know, a cutaway. It'd be like that little bit of fuel, it just evaporates it so quick and run through there, but it's like it'll show you in depth. It's flowing through there like a kitchen faucet sink, just off the chain.
So you saying that when I go to this website, I'm gonna look at something that got a shut off to it. Once they make their burnout, they got it shut off. Then they got another thing to come on.
Yeah, it show you step by step on the whole thing all different type of cars. You know, because I watched a couple. I watched probably about four different ones. But it's sweet though.
But when you looked at it, was it like amazing to you to see something like that?
Yep, it was amazing. All right, it's like you watching the inside of how your plumbing in your house work, but you got a camera inside actually showing you how it works. Wow. Or the turbo. Do you see that clear turbo and it shows all the heat and everything, how it works on the inside, sort of like one of those. It'll take you inside and show you exactly how it flow and how much flow through there and how quickly in those mere matter of seconds.
What you think about that hood? Now I know you and Phil, and I know you've been around a lot of race cars and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
Do you think it matters to, you know, a lot of guys running the eighth of mile now, right?
Uh-huh.
And then you got guys that's not going to get into the eighth of mile because they don't do that.
Uh-huh.
You think it's less wear and tear on your motor with the fuel consumption, or you think you'll go faster with going in the eighth of mile, burning more gas or less of gas, or going in the quarter mile, burning more gas or less of gas? Now, what you feel about that?
If you cut something in half, it's less, you know. It's like if I'm driving 100 miles or 50, you know. It's less. That's why they cut it down. To save motors and save wear and tear, save all the rest. You spending half. You might not be spending half as much as far as fuel. You probably spending the same for them little seconds, but they cutting corners. They definitely are.
That's
they cutting corners for sure.
Huh?
They cutting corners for sure.
That's the answer I wanted to hear because I was trying to find out them. If you go such and such in an eighth of a mile, and you say you faster than the guy in a quarter mile, this guy got to be burning more gas in an eighth of a mile, or the same gas than the guy going in a quarter mile. So what I was asking, like, damn, if he's burning less, fucking up less parts in an eighth of a mile, I know he got to be spending more money in fuel.
Yep, for sure.
I know you got to be spending more money in fuel because it don't make sense to me.
Yep, you're right. You're right.
You see what I'm saying?
If I want to go downtown, you know, is if I want to go for miles downtown and put in my tank, the what would get me halfway, guess what? I'd be walking the rest of the way. So you're right dead on that one.
Right, so that's the reason you got eight. That's reason you got 87, you got 89, and you got 93. You got 100 proof. You got a 110. You got a 116. Them gas is gonna burn slower in a regular car, or you know what I'm saying, a car that you got a smaller motor in. I think I just think that because I think that's more knowledgeable to the valves in the car. You know what I'm saying? That's just me thinking. Mm-hmm. Just thinking out loud.
I'm in the truck, baby. I'm making a lot of noise, but the heavier gas burns fast and slow according to being heavy and light. Lighter gas burns fast. We used to go, I'm going to get off after making a lot of noise. We used to go to to the airport strip and get aviation fuel. It made more power, but it burns so much faster because it's lighter. Light gas burns faster, heavy gas burns slower.
Well, that's one of the reasons I wanted to ask it. I just wanted to ask it. I didn't mean to ruck nobody's feathers or anything. Hey, Hood. Hey, Hood TV. What the, hey, Kevin, he got off? I want my dad dog on shirt. Give me my god dog on shirt, Hood. But, you know, that's the reason I asked this question tonight and try to get some insight on you guys that was, you know, knowledgeable about this, these cars, you know, that we spent all this money in and indulge in, so.
May I intervene while you're on the subject?
Hey, Uncle Larry, how you doing, Uncle Larry?
Doing pretty good, pretty good. I hear y'all speaking about wear and tear and so forth and so on. The question that I want to ask, what do you think the most stress and strain come on the engine at for wear and tear when you're drag racing down through the eighth other quarter?
Uncle Larry, me personally, when you pull second gear, I think, that head go right there.
You release some pressure when you pull second gear, baby boy. I've always learned that. The most wear and tear comes from when you first leave the line because you're moving weight. You're moving the weight from a dead standstill. That's what I was told, and I just wanted to ask that question to get somebody else's opinion on it. But
okay.
I always heard that the most stress and strain of wear and tear was when you initially leave the line. Once you get off the line, most of the stress and stuff is really relieved because of the simple fact that you're in motion.
I've seen a lot of guys blow up in the water, burning out. I've seen a lot of guys blow up, leaving them. But I've seen a ton of guys when they select second gear, if he ain't right, he's gonna have tire spin. Or if he got his car on a good pass, if he got his car on grudge racing, and what we promote on Clocks Off, visit the website clocksoff.com. We got T-shirts, we got hats, things of that nature. Back to the what you just said, Uncle Larry.
I wanted to ask D what he thought about that. What you think about that, D?
Give me 1 second, man. We're trying to get so I can park because I'm in this traffic right now. I'll be back in.
Okay. Yeah, I think moving weight is the most stress and strain of wear and tear on the engine.
Because you got the weight transfer. You said the weight transfer. You said when you move the weight itself.
When you're sitting there, you're still. And when you're sitting there and you're still, you're waiting for the light to change when you first leave there.
Right.
After the light struck.
Nowadays, they got cars don't leave as violent that they used to. Yeah, I remember a lot of cars run in the air. I heard a lot of people say, "Man, that car run good in the air. You just don't know nothing about a car just sitting standing in the air, and he can pull it. He can bang that thing and set it down." Nowadays, them cars don't come up in the air that violent. I don't want no violent car. I dare to have a violent car. I don't want no violent car. I want that car to ride like a Cadillac. I'm talking about smooth as possible. I got my life in there, huh? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, as you know, once we got that Camaro, it stopped going up in the air. Everything changed. You know, we had to get that Camaro. We had to stop that Camaro from going up in the air. You know.
Hey, Uncle Leroy.
Did,
hey, Uncle
everything changed. Everything changed. The 60-foot, everything changed.
Hey, we got Shaking Bake on the line.
What's going on, fella?
What's going on, Shaking Bake?
What's up, Shake?
What's up, lad? What's up, baby boy? Cadillac.
What's going on?
Hey, man, that's my whole lot, man. Just call in to support the show. I got a little bit more work I got to do before I head out in the morning.
Okay. Okay, that's what's up, brother. You got anything? You got any,
That statement. Yeah, Larry mentioned about the more stress on the vehicle, on the engine. When the car first starts out, there is more stress on that engine from the initial start than it is once it gets to rolling. The reason why is because Murphy's Law takes effect. An object in rest will remain at rest until acted upon another moving force. Gravitational pull pulls down everything in that engine before it takes off. There's more stress on an engine at the initial
takeoff. I just want to get this one started.
Once you get that joke going, then the less stress acts upon it. So I believe you're 100% right, Larry. There's more stress on that engine when it first takes off than it is once it gets rolling. It's got to pick up that weight and fling it out there.
Right. Well, that's the way I count them. You know, that's what I had heard from several people, and I didn't really actually know, but it does make a lot of sense. You know,
yeah,
because the weight is already moving once you're gone. When you get ready to leave, you got to move the weight.
Yep. Let me give you an example that we all have seen. Remember when they used to take off and send that space shuttle up in the sky, that very first one back years ago? It had two tanks on the side of it. It's more harder to send that spaceship up in the air from initial takeoff. That's why they burn them two tanks on the outside. Then once they get to going and get up in space, it's a breeze. But it was harder trying to get away from Earth's gravitational pull.
So you said back when, Shake?
Remember when the Apollo first went up in the sky, you used to see two big old tanks on the side of that space, on that ship?
I ain't gonna quote you on that, but I know back of those, the actual, when NASA upgraded their thing, they got three thrusters on the back of that space shuttle. And one of those thrusters got 500,000 horsepower. They got three thrusters. That's 500,000 horsepower that they had when they shut it down. Now when you said with the new lick, I ain't that old enough to know nothing about this.
I know. Well, you see, at the initial point of contact, once they got off, you'll see them break loose from them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know,
they had to
go and recover them suckers too. They had certain people to go out and recover them, but it had to get away from that Earth gravitational pull and get going. Once it freed itself, it was a piece of cake. It didn't need that much. But yeah, from the initial start,
Larry, I was trying to find somewhere to park to see to come in, but no, we're not gonna have that kind of luck right now. But let me say this real quick: I have one of the best engine builders, I believe, in the world of a racing engine, in TK Racing, and I tend to leave practice 90% what the man give me. But that's one thing him and I are different on. Is because he'll say that it's less stress leaving and more down the line due to a building factor, I'm like Shake. The object in motion tends to remain in motion until you push it. When you push it, it reacts. And the reaction of it is it to leave that line as hard as it possibly can in a matter of a microsecond. And there's not, no one has been able to convince me that one of these engines are less stressful in high gear. I have yet, it's going to take some doing to convince me of that. I think it's more stressful right here. You know, back in the old days, we had small, cheaper engines. We put 513s and 557s in them and make them rev like hell off the line. And how in the hell can you confess me that that's less stressful down the line than it is off the line? It's going to take some doing to show me that. As of right now, I stick with my theory. Object in motion remains in motion. Once it's released, once you release that brake, it shocks it. That car tries to shock the tire so hard that the back tire is trying to take the place of the front tire. You can't convince me.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to check on this noise down and listen.
Now, D, you just said something that was real educational. Now, Drag had a Nova. Drag had a 900 on the car. He almost hurt himself in the car. He almost, matter of fact, I ain't gonna say he hurt himself. He almost damn near killed himself in the nose. Cause the front, the back tire trying to catch up with the front tire, the car with the wiggling it around. Now, it's hard. I think it's hard as all that does, man, to try to control that car in high gear or a second gear or something like that when the car moving like that. That's when that pressure on that motor, that's why they say they go into the eighth more so than a quarter. That's the reason I said second gear. That's the reason I said that, because I felt like that by the car being moving and having momentum and the motor relaxed like that, it's going to make more power. It ain't going to make the power that it is right there at the starting line. I don't think, because if that should be, we should have 60-foot passes.
That's where all the shock come from, though, baby boy. The shock comes from when you initially leave the line. You know, that's when everything has to be right. That's to take the most shock. When you ride down on the top end, there is no shock.
True. So,
shock is when you first initially take off.
Shit, he's still
in the
power.
That's on the top end, but I just don't think that as hard on that engine and high gear is off the line. You know, if I slap you right now, the biggest part that you feel is when I first hit your face. My hands tend to keep going, but you won't feel it. You feel when I first launch, when I first make contact with you. That's what you feel. The hand don't stop. It keep going. But you feel that. You don't feel that as bad as you did when I first made contact. And like maybe what was just said about car, the front tire going in the air. When you launch that car off that line, if you pull the front end up, the back tire is trying to take the place of the front tire before it can come down. That's because there's so much torque right here trying to move that mass weight. No one can convince me all the way. I mean, there's no thing that's going to show me up here.
That's the reason I said it's more stress on the motor once you grab that clutch or whenever the gear's supposed to change, and if you got a manual automatic shift and it set itself down. That's the reason I said that, because I ride motorcycles and I've been on a high booster, and you leave there with the bike in the air, and you have to grab that clutch to settle the bike down. And once you settle that thing down, and if you ain't right, guess what's going to happen? It's going to come back in the air.
Okay, let me ask you another question then. Let's try this one then. How many bikes have you seen on the top end when it be struck that high gear, pick the tires up in the air?
Very few.
Well, that's the reason they don't, with motorcycles and a fast motorcycle.
Okay, but not motorcycle. We're speaking of a car, too.
If a crosswind catch a motorcycle, that's the reason they got pans in the front wheel Because if the crosswind catch them, they can handle the bite. So
we're not talking about the crosswind. We're talking about the horsepower itself. Once you initially leave and you get down there and you stick that thing in high gear, you don't see tires going up in the air like it initially do when you first make initial contact from the point that you're taking off from. You know, the most stress to me is right there at that point of taking off. You know, down on the top end. I've never seen anybody.
The reason for that is because you're taking the torque factor out of it now. The torque factor is in the launching of it. And how good you take the torque out of it.
Yeah.
Hey, Professor, Uncle D, man, you can't be saying all this over the airways because they gonna try to steal stuff. Can't be saying all that.
It's gonna be worse tomorrow night. It'll be a marriage show. Come to talk about tomorrow night. It's gonna be a little worse.
The initial takeoff is all torque anyway. And all of the torque, if you can produce a lot of torque, that's the reason why it stands up in the air like that. So if you can get your torque right, it will stand up. But that's what's making it launch away from there, the torque that engine is producing. And once the torque is done, then the horsepower comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Right, that's what I was saying. That's why you don't see them stand up like they're on Big Ed. You out of the torque factor there. You get your RPM raised now. This is what you like Miller was just saying. That's where you need your horsepower factor in. Your torque factor is mainly at 320 or less is what you do with just totally torque.
Yeah, well.
Hey, I'm going in and out of my mute because I got a lot of noise in the background. Yeah, but that's what's going on. And then if you really got it real good, those nitrous cars and stuff like that, if you can get that nitrous car to produce all of that torque and you get you a good 60 foot, that's how come that nitrous car can get away from that starting line. And that's where a nitrous car has to take advantage of a turbo car, right there from the word go. If you want to be the turbo car, you got to put it on him from the word go. If you put it on him from the word go, then you got a chance on staying out there in front of him. But if you let him ride on side of you, then he's going to go to making all that horsepower, then you got issues upstairs.
Uncle Larry, can I weigh in? Baby boy, can I weigh in?
Yes, sir.
Hey, this is DC. Uncle Larry, what you're saying makes a lot of sense. I drive tractor trailers for a living, and we tear.
Yeah. See, your mic is open.
Okay. We tear more drive shafts out in first and second gear. Have you ever watched a tractor trailer start from a light?
I'm in one right
when
now.
I
experienced exactly what you're saying. I experienced that about a month ago in toll booth.
Yeah, I mean, if you let go of that clutch too fast and you under a 60, 70, 80,000-pound load, come off that clutch in first gear too fast, you will twist that drive shaft right away and break all that housing up. I've done it before, and the first and second gear, or what they call the low gear, that's where you tear up your most drive shafts. You never tear up a drive shaft when you get on the high side of your transmission in a tractor trailer.
Mm-hmm. So there you go. There you have it. A lot of the torque and stress is at initial starts.
One of the initial starts, that's right.
No, that engine is taking a lot of stress, that transmission taking a lot of stress, that ring end and that suspension just to get that big, heavy 60, 70,000 load going. Same thing applies to a 2,800-pound Mustang or a 3,200-pound Malibu.
Mm-hmm.
Physics is always the same, no matter how you look at it.
I've often heard that it was more wear and tear in a quarter than it was an eighth, but I never just really came on the radio stations and debated that issue, you know. And the reason I don't is because of physics, you know. Regardless of whether it's an eighth or a quarter mile, the most wear and tear is still going to come from impact. You know,
yep.
And that's the way I've always learned it, but I never wanted to argue the issue because my purpose of being on the show is for something far more than that.
Hey, Larry, look at it like this. If a car hit a wall, do the most damage come from the initial impact or once it keep going? you feel what I'm saying? I mean, see,
yeah,
you know, guys
exactly.
can twist it. See, we can twist it and turn it, but, you know, something is old saying that what makes sense is just makes sense, and what don't just don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, most of the time the axles get broke or drive shaft or so far and so on is always you become the initial contact.
Now, not to get off what you asked everybody, Uncle Larry. We're talking about my first initial reaction was the topic.
Fuel consumption.
Tonight, my topic was fuel consumption.
Uh-huh.
Do you think in 660 pass or 1320 pass, 1320 pass, you use more fuel in a 660 pass or more fuel in a 1320 pass with your car?
In some cases, the 1320 would use more. The way the automobile is set up. You know, that's a pretty good question, baby boy. I mean, for me to just come out and just answer like that, but it has a lot to do with the way that the automobile is set up too. Also, fuel consumption, because Drag just explained that a few minutes ago when he was talking about how much his car had to weigh in and what size fuel cell he had on there and so far and so on. Okay, and the reason I said that was because of the Camaro, we would use half of that fuel cell or no more. You know, so that's a good question, man. It's a real good question. I just think it's really based upon how a person got it set up and how it's jetted or whatever the case may be. You know, that's one question. I don't know, baby. But that's why I didn't really weigh in on it. I just sat back and I listened, you know, because I've been listening to
right.
the whole show.
Well, you know, you and Saul, when you and Saul guys have fuel cells in the back of their car and stuff like that. I never, I seen the newer cars that you know, with the fuel cells in the front, you know, with the new technologies and stuff like that, with the fuel cell in the front. And Drag said that it was a few cars it was people saying it's more safer than you having the motor up there and the fuel and everything up there. And you hit some shit, you know what I'm saying? You get the record or whatever and all the gas up there. And I'd rather have the fuel in back of me and have the motor in front of me, but they say it's more safer. So, you know, that's the reason I brought it up, just to get everybody's different opinion on it, stuff like that, you know, so.
Yeah, well, the metal one, if it has an impact, it's a possibility that it could ignite something. The aluminum one, I think that I kind of weigh the difference in, as far as a spark is concerned coming from the aluminum ones, you know. But I really honestly and truly like to answer your question, but when it gets to a point in time where it's something that I'm not really sure of, I'd rather not say. And the reason for that, because we have a lot of young people listening and so far and so on, so if I say it, I want to kind of be a little bit precise about what I'm saying, you know. But that part there, it's just really hard for me to just say on that one.
Well, you know, if you like me and Cadillac, we started out, we said we didn't know. So that's the reason, you know, the topic was brought up. So I was, you know, just trying to, you know, get some more, you know, input because we didn't know.
Right.
So that's the reason I kept on, you know, on the topic because, you know, there's a lot of guys, there's a lot of people that listen to Baby Boy and Cadillac show and Cadillac and Baby Boy show and stuff like that, and then they hear other shows or stuff like that, and they not more induced about asking questions. They more, a lot of guys, because they got race cars and stuff like that, they think they more entitled to talk. They think they more entitled to talk and say everything, and not the people that's listening need to, you know, press the one button, man. If you want to ask a question, then we'll get a person on the line to see. If I don't know it, I can call Uncle Larry or Uncle D or Cadillac Joe or Big Drag or whoever to enlighten, give more in depth insight about the question that you asked. So, you know, you got a good point there, Uncle Larry. You know, it's a good thing.
Yeah, if I'm not sure about something, I'd rather pass on it. You know, and
right.
Somebody that does, give them the opportunity to come in and speak on it. It may be that they're able to give me some knowledge too. You never get too old to learn. You know, so. Rather than me to just say, I'd just rather pass on it. And because I know that, you know, one of those cars that had a fuel cell in the back and something like a street car, something of that nature, it's not going to have the consumption that we have with the, you know, with the Camaro or something of that nature, you know, because of the simple fact of the different eras that the cars are in, you know.
Right.
So,
that's what I wanted somebody to say, because I wanted somebody to say, well, well, it's a different. If you got a street car, or you got a pro mod or a top fuel dragster, yeah, they're gonna burn more fuel. They're gonna burn more fuel because they look at the power they laying down. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? And I kind of knew it, but I just wanted to put it out there to see what the listeners and the people that was that listened to the show and see what they would say, you know.
Right. And that's why I bowed on that one. You know, I bowed on that because I know that it all depends. I think that it has a lot to do with what type of automobile you have, your setup, and so far and so on. You know, so I just stepped to the side on that one.
Hey, baby boy, I got a little bit more for you before I go back on mute because we got a lot of noise. Now, what you're talking about is from up to the eighth of a mile, you're going to burn more fuel. From the 660 to the 1320, you don't burn as much fuel, okay? So just think about what I just said there. From the start to the 660 is where the most fuel is being burned at right there. Because you remember, for me, say if you run 125 miles an hour to the eighth of a mile, you're not going to run another 125 miles an hour in that other 660 feet. I'm going to go back on you. Just helping
there
you out,
go.
Okay?
There you go.
All right.
There you go,
all right.
Brother. There you go. There you go. That's what I, there you go. Let's get this shit popped. Now, I don't mean to curse, but let's get it popped. They say they faster than a guy that's running the 1320. Say, if I'm in front of him at the eighth of a mile, how in the hell he going to get in front of me? And I'm in front of him at the eighth of a mile. That's a fucking lie, man. It's a fucking lie, man. It don't make sense to me. If you in front, you can leave before I do. And I can still go down there and pick you up.
And I have seen it on numerous occasions where people have went down there and caught them. You know, so, you know, it's debatable. It's going to be debatable on both ends because you got two people doing two different things, you know. So that's where the debate come in at. You know, and you know me, I'm not much on that debate stuff. You know, so I just, you know, kind of bow out on it. But I know something, since 1969, you know, I've been around drag racing. And all I ever knowed, I became familiar when I went back home down in Greenville, Mississippi, because they had Acre Mile Tracks. I became
right.
familiar with Acre Mile Tracks, but I was raised and fed on quarter mile racing. So my thing with it was that's all I really knew. The first time I went to see Acre Mile racing, it was just totally boring to me, you know. But as time went along, then I kind of started trying to like it a little bit because I knew that it had a lot to do with who left the lines first and et cetera, et cetera. And that, you know, and but I never wanted to knock Eighth of Mile racing because I always said, in my own personal opinion, if there's an event going on and they're doing both of them, then you're satisfying the fans and you're satisfying the people that took time to win in the garage that can put their cars together, and this is what they do. You know, I thought that it would make the event better also because then you're satisfying the fans because you got some that like to see the 8 mile racing. You got some that like to see the quarter mile racing. So if you take both of them and put them together, then you have a multitude of people. You know, you got the ones that drag racing enjoying themselves, and you got the fans enjoying
right.
themselves. How could that not be a success?
And what I was always taught is this here. I don't have no problem with nobody. Whatever you do, that's your personal prerogative. It's your personal prerogative. If I like you and that's what you do, I'm going to see what you're doing. I'm going to see, you know what? That's all right. I like that. I like that. I ain't got no problem with the guys that do run eighth of miles or do run a quarter mile. I just want to see some drag racing. But I don't want nobody to belittle the other guys that do run a certain type of circus. If you run a certain type of circus, don't hate on the next person because he run a certain type of circus and you doing it. And it's popular. It ain't nothing but a fad. It's called a fad. You see what I'm saying? Drag racing ain't going to never go out of style. When we dead and gone, guess what? Our kids and the people that's going to live longer than we going to do, guess what they going to still do? They going to still mm-hmm. drag racing. They going to still fucking drag race. So my thing is this here, man. All this disrespect about he ain't doing this and he run this and who, I don't care. I just want to see some good, clean drag racing. Man, yeah, I like that car. I like this car. I might pick the faster car. That don't mean I have to win, Uncle Larry.
Yeah. And I understand what you're saying because when a guy spends his hard-earned money that he's worked for, et cetera, or whatever, and he goes in the garage and he puts something together, you know, then that's his preference. You know, so I don't knock anybody's preference, you know, because I have my own preferences. Just like this guy told me, you should have never got that kind of boat. Well, I like a tournament boat, so I bought me a tournament boat. That's why I bought me one, so that's what I like. You know, his opinion was that I shouldn't have got that. I shouldn't have got it. And it came out that I satisfied Larry, see? You know, and we'll be satisfying him. When we got in the water together, he didn't do anything. He didn't do anything that I couldn't do. But I could do something that he can do. I could run faster, you know. So that was just his own personal opinion, you know. And the reason I like to run faster is because of the simple fact that a lot of times you got storms come up. You want to hurry up and get back and try to, you know, make yourself safety. If you decide to go to one of the crappie tournaments or something of that nature, you only got a certain time limit to deal with it and so forth and so on. So I did it according to my specifications, you know.
You did.
And
you did what
the guys
you
do
did.
When they go in the garage. So, you know,
you did what,
I don't
you did what pleased Larry. You did what pleased Larry.
That's
and
right.
That's all that matters.
That's all the time. I got to do that. Yeah. My thing is to sit back and watch something come together and watch the beautification of it and watch it grow. Because us as being the individuals that's down here on this earth, the good Lord put us all down here for a reason, man. And I think that the reason is to accommodate each other. That's what I think, because if it was to destroy each other, then it wasn't no sense of putting all of us down here, you know. And when it comes to something being successful, when a group of men and stuff get together, they make a lot of things happen when they work together. But when they work against each other, then that slows down progress itself. You know, so that's just my own personal opinion and terminology about what it takes to make things come out and work the best at. You know, so that's just only Larry's personal opinion.
Well, Uncle Larry. Opinions like assholes, everybody got one. And I do agree with your opinion, what you said. We are here for a purpose and to help one another, not to destroy one another. And that's why I keep you so close to me, man, because you got so much wisdom with you, brother. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Not just that, baby boy. The wisdom that I got is just the time that I have spent and the things that I have went through that put the wisdom in me. And the wisdom that I do have, it's not the greatest, it's not the best in the world, because, you know, I make human error just like anybody else. But one thing about it, I try to keep it 100, because I have a lot of friends. I've made friends with and so far and so on. And I think that I got to be doing something pretty good, you know. So this is what I'm going to keep doing, man, until the end of time, man, because when you learn better, you do better. And I think that I'm way ahead in the game when it comes to the Department of People. Fellowship.
Hey, can we ask whoever that is with your phone, could you mute your mic? We appreciate that. We're having a good show. Can we please get you mute your mic? Thank you. Can you mute your mic? Hey, maybe somebody riding it forgot they got it out, Dave. Whatever it is, open. Hey, Kevin, can you find that?
That's a jerk that's doing that shit.
Calm down. Hey, Kevin, can you find that for us, brother? I appreciate it, man. Okay, I think they found it, baby. Go ahead on. You all right, on?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm fine. I was just trying to wait for that to happen because I wonder. Also make an announcement that Clocks Off are going to have T-shirts and hats and stuff. And we're going to make them available for anybody that want to purchase one. You know, and we just wanted to make sure, I wanted to make sure that we got that out there. You know, and I'm going to go ahead on and back up on mute, man, and let y'all continue on with the show, man. I done said enough and enough sometimes is too much.
Yeah. Hey, you did a good job. You did a good job. Y'all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that fuel construction is something else. That's real interesting. But like some people say, hey, they ain't worried about it. They just get in and get down and put some more when they need. But I like
I
to find out how far I can go on, man. That's all right there.
Hey, Larry, how you go about getting one of them T-shirts?
As soon as they are fabricated and everything, we're gonna put it out on the airway. And once we put it out on the airway, I'm pretty sure it's probably gonna end up. We know that we're gonna have some for the.
We got some background noise next weekend.
Okay.
Y'all echoing. We got Terry on the line. SVO Terry, what's happening, man?
SVO.
What's going on? Listening to the show.
That's what's up, brother. How you feel?
Trying to get ready for tomorrow.
Okay. Do you got anything on this topic we're talking about tonight?
With the fuel?
Yeah.
Every car is different.
Mm-hmm.
It depends if you drive it through the pits up to the line. It depends if you drive it back at the end of the line. I mean, everything's different. You know, we push our car, almost all of our cars actually up to the burnout box, and You know, the car gets shut off. When he gets off onto the return road, we go to get him.
Like, do you guys burn more fuel in the run or idling what's the most fuel burnt in y'all cars? I'm asking. I know you guys run turbos. Y'all don't run nicest cars. So what is just idling and burn more fuel? Y'all gotta hurry up and get to the water box to burn out a short burnout or a long burnout or.
We try and do the same burnout every time. So, I mean, we usually use maybe not even a half a gallon of fuel, about a half a gallon maybe.
Mm-hmm. So, that's what's up, man. I was trying to figure this thing out now, Terry. You got to help me out now. I know you way more knowledgeable than me and kind of like Joe.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, every car is different. You can't ever say that two cars are different, you know, going to run the same amount of fuel.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was just trying to, you know, get this question out because, you know, we listen to a lot of shows and stuff like that, you know. A lot of people don't ask questions about this stuff. So I was, you know, I just wanted to dedicate the show to the people that want to ask questions that don't really know and why, and the reason why that certain things on the race car and stuff like that, as far as the tires is big in the back and the small tires in the front, and I'd be getting all type of questions. I'd be like, damn, I don't really know, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't really know, you know, so I'm just glad that I got you guys like you that can like Drag and Mr. D and Uncle Larry and the rest of the guys, Mr. Melvin and the rest of the guys that can inform guys that's listening about a race car and what you're trying to do. You know what I'm saying, Terry?
Right. Yep.
You know, baby, it's like Terry said, every car is different. Some guys run their cars fat. You run a car fat, and I run my ass lean. You want to go through, you go through more fuel than I will. Just on the strength of being fat alone. You run a Dominator, I run a 750. Law of averages says you're going to go through more fuel. Even just being a big block or small block, theoretically speaking, you should burn more fuel than I do. Head flow makes a difference in the fuel. Like I said earlier, the efficiency of the engine makes a difference in what you do when it comes to fuel. Fuel delivery, fuel pressure. I mean, it's a stack of things that's going to make a difference in how much fuel you burn.
It's so scary. So what you got going on, kid?
Not much. We got, we'll be out at business race tomorrow at Morocco. 41. We got a couple cars going out there. We 12 locked in with Butt Naked. And
okay, y'all run a gate with Butt Naked tomorrow, right?
Yep. And then I think Joey wants to try the Thriller car. And Mark Alexander, if we get Marky's car right, we're going to probably try Rambo.
I saw the picture you guys put up on Facebook. That was a nice picture with all the whole crew and everybody. Put some damn shoes on, Terry. You don't never wear no damn shoes. You got your flip flops on.
I hate shoes. I hate wearing shoes. I wear sandals in the snow. So unless I got to wear them, I don't like them.
Hey, Terry.
Yeah.
Hey, this Shake and Bake, man. Congratulations on your win, man.
Hey, thanks. Yep. So we'll see. And then we got the 26, and then we got Donnier's race, and then we got, that Milan's got another $10,000 sponsored by Team Z. You know, free entry, $10,000 to win. So I think Donnier's race we're locked in with white crackers. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But it's coming around. You know, we got a lot of testing to do still. You know, hopefully
yeah.
by the end of the year, we'll be ready for real treats.
Go ahead. Get another one under your belt. Represent the North.
Hey, man, are you going to try Tony Bynes tomorrow since he's up here? You think you can get locked in with him?
If we get the car right, then we'll try him. You know, we took Marky's car out today, and we knocked the tires off. So Marky's car just come out of the shop. So if we get it right, then we'll try him. But we're not going to try him if we're not right.
Okay, because I'm going to be there in his camp. You know, I'll be trying to help him out and see
yeah.
if we can, you know, put on another real good show. You know what I'm saying? Just another good pair of cars going down a drag strip. That's why I asked.
Yeah, if we, you know, if we get the car right, then yes. Yeah, you know, but otherwise, we don't like the race if the car's not right, you know.
Well, y'all went up to Detroit last week and y'all went in and did y'all thing, Mr. SBO, Mr. Terry. Y'all did
yeah.
y'all thing up there, man.
We had two Chicago cars in the finals. So, which was good.
That great how y'all got that thing. That thing, that no, it can, I'm talking about, oh, Lord have mercy. And they talking about a nicest car. Y'all got a turbo car, that thing, that can fuck.
And it's just a little small bar.
Hey, 920, 5429, your mic is open. Live, come on in and holler at your baby and Cadillac. We want to know what's going on. What you want to say? 920, 5429. And your mic is live.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello? Start it, Stokes,
man. In.
What's
up, Stokes,
man? I've been on the line, Joe.
Okay, man. We just trying to get somebody else to come on in, man, to fellowship with us, man. That's all. Having a good
okay.
show, man. Just keep
so
it moving and grooving.
So I've been on the highway driving, man, listening to y'all, man. Y'all keeping
okay.
me, man, taking my trip safe.
Oh, man, you be safe out there, man. May the Lord bless you and keep you.
Yeah.
Keep you out of harm's way out there on that way.
I'll turn down that, though.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
I'll turn down that, though.
Did his job. That's a good
okay.
thing. That's a good thing. All right, man. We got any other callers out there? All right, now. What did you think about that topic Baby was talking about?
Oh, man, I was talking to him about it a little bit, man. I don't know too much about it, though, but you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just sitting back listening like everybody else.
All right, bro.
All right, Joe.
All right, now. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Next caller. Who else out there on that one button?
Well, it's just they ain't. Ain't nobody going to say nothing. Hey, Terry.
Yeah.
So, how much y'all won the event, or what did y'all do last week?
What's that?
I said, did y'all win the event, or what?
Yeah, we won the shootout.
You guys won the shootout?
Yeah.
Wow, great. Great.
Yeah, it was a good time, you know. Milan was a good track. They took care of us. You know, it was a good time.
Hey, Terry.
Yeah.
Hey, man, I want to tell you congratulations on that win, man. Keep doing it, man.
Yeah, we're trying. Cars are starting to come around, so we'll see what happens.
Hey, I want to know when them SBO shows coming out.
Yeah, we got a busy couple weeks coming up, and then we're going to start heading down south.
Okay. All right. Man, good looking, man. Good look. It's going to be all right. Much more success to you. Appreciate you tuning in, man.
Yep.
All right. Next caller, who else we get out there on the line? Got any other callers out?
Hey, SBO, if I put up $800, can I get one of them T-shirts, too?
Yeah, hey, that cost 20. That was Turbo GT's right there.
Okay, I know it was one of them. I was just wondering, you know, I know the $800 to get a T-shirt, right?
Yeah. Well, I think we're locked in with DMX next weekend, so we got to race DMX.
All right, I'm just going on mute. I'm just, you know, keeping conversation going so we can enjoy the show, man.
Hey, Terry, who else you going to down south of run? Is anybody down south in particular, any guys that you're out looking for? Or y'all just trying to get into the races that y'all locked in already?
We're just looking to race. So whoever 28, 20, we'll get down.
Is Biz doing a shootout or anything like that? What is he offering at his race? Well,
tomorrow? Tomorrow's all grudge race.
Grudge race.
Nope. I think
Terry, when you won a shootout, Terry, who was it that you raced against, Terry, to win the shootout?
Turbo GT.
Turbo GT? Okay.
And it was all Chicago in the final.
All Chicago.
Yeah, and that shootout was anything. I mean, it pretty much a block. I had a big block with twin turbos, huge tires on it, bars, everything.
Mm.
No, Terry.
No. Hey, was Chucky in that shootout?
No, Chucky's he's not in it.
Okay, I was just wondering.
Yeah, his tires getting put back together.
Yeah, Terry, what's happening, man? This is D from the D and Larry Show. Clocks out once again. Congratulations on your win. Hey, man, this. You said it was the All-Chicago Finals. Was there anyone from the South there that we would recognize?
No, no one was there. Not from the South. It was just like an OEP. You know what I mean? It was just their monthly event, kind of like the streetcar thing up here.
Right. Okay. Right. Good way to come out the gate flat, both bears.
Yeah, I want, you know, straight line performance put up $2,000 too into the shootout. So, you know, thanks to them guys.
You still remember my early prediction, don't you, Terry?
What's that?
That the fastest turbo car was going to come from out of the Midwest. And the fastest nitrous small block car was going to come out the Midwest. Remember my prediction?
You said that several times, right?
It's just a matter of time.
You said that months ago.
Yes,
ago.
Yes, I did.
Somebody
I sure did.
And you said that months ago, and somebody debated you. They trying to argue down and up and down. Look.
Sit back and watch, though, baby. I'm going to sit back and watch. I ain't going to... Even exchange, I made my prediction. See, there's only two things can happen to that baby boy. I'm either come out right, or I'm either come out wrong. Either way, I ain't gonna lose nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so
it's like
that's my prediction. This is my belief. You know, so I'm gonna just see if it pan out the way I see it. See if my judgment pretty decent.
Hey, Terry, you know one more thing I gotta say about you guys, man. Y'all car don't get violent. That car goes straight down Broadway, man. That car goes straight down Broadway.
Hey,
that's what you want to see up there.
That's our chassis guy, Dave at Team Z, and all them guys took care of that car. You know? So, I got to give props to Team Z. Dave's always there for us and helping us out, whatever we need.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Larry, this is for Larry.
Yes.
Are you looking in that crystal ball again, Larry? I think that's what you're over there doing. All right.
Yes,
I think that's what you're over there doing. Looking in that crystal ball.
Yeah. Just looking at it from a different angle now, but it's I'm still looking at it.
You ain't got to worry about getting too far from me, you son of God. Yeah, man, y'all, Terry, y'all guys put a few posters on that on Facebook, and I saw, I don't know if it was, I think it was Detroit had put it on Facebook, and it showed you guys race and how many rounds and what rounds you guys went and stuff like that, and the car was very consistent, looked like.
How many rounds did it go, Terry, for you to win the shootout? How many rounds did it take?
There was 10 cars in it. 8, 4, 3, 2. I think it was 4 rounds. We had 4 rounds.
Mm-hmm.
So you said, Terry, consistency matters in a shootout or a drag race, huh?
Consistency is everything.
That's right.
So people that's listening in, consistently real drag racing, not the fastest car. I'd rather put my money on a consistent car than a fast car or the fast food car.
Well, you want a fast car, Barry, but you want to be fast and consistent. And I think Terry will contest to that along with Uncle Larry and everyone else. Sometimes you have to tone your car down and run a tad slower than it could if you ran it all balls out just for the consistency factor. You know, you go out on the edge with your toning and you don't know what it's going to do from round to round. If you mile it down some, you know it's going to run the same ET every round back to back. That's going to get you to win.
And that's exactly what happened in the final round. We slowed the car down because there was a crash a couple passes before, so we were worried about the oil on the track. To where Turbo GT, Evan, they turned the car up and they went on the bumper, and we went straight down.
Yeah, gotta happen. I saw a guy years ago take a pickup truck and run 1760. 1761, 1760, and took a $1,500 check on. Because he ran on money every trip, right there to grow. So consistency does always have and always will make a world different than drag racing. That's what you want. So how many cars you guys take up from out here?
What's that?
How many cars you guys gonna take out to be a thing tomorrow?
We got probably about 3 or 4 we're taking. We'll take, Teddy's got to work tomorrow, so if he gets off early enough, we'll have the SBO there, too.
Okay. In case you guys forgot, too, I had told Steve I would try to make it back. I'm still trying, but you guys know you're having a gathering at a bowling alley somewhere out there tonight for the guys. And I had talked Steve that call earlier. I told
Yeah, they're out bowling somewhere in, I don't know where it's at exactly.
Yeah, actually, that's what I was doing. I'm hoping that someone would remember the address or something to bring it on air. I don't quite remember exactly where it was at, but I know he did say they're going to be bowling.
I think it's where?
In
Richland Park, somewhere in Rich City. Not too far from the skating rink. It ain't too far from the skating rink in Rich City.
Okay. So if you guys can't get to the track tomorrow, at least try to get out there and, you know, make a win tonight there. Try. Pushing kind of theme. I'm still trying to at least get over there hard and shake it for a man.
Yeah, I know Jolly Rancher's up here. I seen Jolly Rancher car yesterday, so. Tony Bynes.
Hey, Tim,
Tony Bynes. What's that?
I say, Johnny Rushing them don't want to mess around with that SBO?
Who's that?
Johnny Rush.
No, they don't want no problem.
What about Al?
They might be on the air there. They might hear
him.
Jerry?
What's that?
They might be tuned in. They might hear that now.
That's fine.
What about the boy Az with the love?
I don't know. I don't want no problems either.
Well, do Tony want any problems here? He's kind of looking for trouble.
Yeah, Tony, I am sure Rambo will try jumping on him.
Yeah.
You know, like I said, if we get Marky's car right, we'll try Rambo.
Okay. I don't think we're going to make it. I don't know if he sent a car to his representation, but I don't think he himself going to make it up.
Right.
But it should be a good show. Now, I heard someone said, Diane said he was bringing his car out there. I haven't talked with you myself, but I heard him say he was bringing his car out.
Who's that?
I heard someone said Diane was supposed to take his car out there tomorrow. And yep. I haven't talked to him myself, but I heard he was going to bring his car out. So if he do that, it's another car from the north to do battle with the boys.
Oh, yeah.
As a whole, I think it should. Pretty good show.
Book Naked and Boost 12, I think, are supposed to race by 5.
Okay. I hope Book Naked make it this time. You know, it's like every time he book a race, it's just one little minor problem after that. You know, he got ran out last week, and the tow vehicle just couldn't get in order for him. I hope he could make it this time.
Yep.
People don't realize with these race cars and these race teams, when you're a one-man team or a two-man team, it's just hard, man. It's hard.
Oh, yeah, it's
hard when you got a team. You know, it's rough when you got a team. And it's really rough when you're a one- or two-man crew. You got to do everything and go with everything, you know. And like he was saying on his show, he got to do everything himself, you know, load, unload, fuel, check fuel, nitrogen bottles, compressors, tubes. He's got to do everything himself, including the driving, you know, to get here. So it's rough on him. And I said, I hope that things work out this time and he can make it here.
Yeah, it's hard. I mean, you got to have a good team now. With the fast cars, you know what I mean? I mean, we usually take – we got a four-man team pretty much that goes anywhere with a – you know what I mean? And we get back to the pits, it's – you know, Aaron takes care of the computer stuff. He checks, logs the runs and checks all the fuel and everything. And I fill the fuel and we switch tires every pass. We rotate tires and, you know, add ice, cool down the motor. It gets hectic. But as long as everyone knows what they're supposed to do, it's good.
You gotta lighten the burn. Yeah,
yep.
If one pull that rope, it kind of lighten the burden up. But when you're a one-man crew, you know, there's no one there lighting the burden off your shoulders. It's all
right
on you.
Yeah, it's too hard. I mean, it's impossible to run some of these cars with a one-man crew anymore.
Yeah.
Hey, I got a question. On that tire rotation that you was talking about, why is it critical to rotate those tires every round like that?
We switch them back and forth because of the sidewalls. The turbo cars just beat the hell out of the sidewalls. I think we only run 5 passes on a set. It's like 5 to 7 passes, and we switch tires.
Yeah, what's that tire you guys using there?
We have True 10.5, 28 10.5.
Hey, y'all can flat boogie, buddy. Y'all can flat boogie. Boogie, woogie, woogie.
Now, when you say a true 10.5, there, you mean a 10.5, not a 10.5W, right?
Correct.
Okay. You know I'm old school, so you tell me 10.5, I'm looking at, you know, 10 inches there. You guys ever tried 10.5W or just...
Nah, we tried it one time, and the car didn't like it, so we never went back. But we're having problems now with the car. We were thinking about trying a W, but the car, we can't get the tires to break loose now. So our tuner said there's no really reason to even try them.
You say you can't get the tires to break loose?
No. The car's dead looking right now.
I was asking what you want, right?
Nah, not really. You want to try and get it to spin a little.
You want the wheel spin.
Yeah. You know, just a bit, you know.
Yeah.
So if you do that,
what's that?
If the wheel spin for a better 60 foot?
Yeah, it gets up on a tire faster. Get going faster. You dead hook that tire, and it's kind of like a slingshot, you know. That rim gets bound up in that slick, and it's kind of a dead space, you know, dead spot.
So
yeah,
I don't want to get in your business, Terry. You saying how you guys got the car set up as far as the chassis work, I don't know if it's stock suspension or back half or whatever you guys. So you said you putting too much power down to the for the weight transfer when you launch the car. It's the tires, the front end of the car stand up like that? What are you saying?
No, that front end don't stand up at all.
Okay.
No. You're using wheel spin here because the turbo set up. It's where to spool up faster. Maybe you can, you know, give them a little more depth there, what you're saying. So that's why you wanted to get a wheel spin.
Just to get out.
I heard somebody else on the show saying, well, he can only put so much power on the stock suspension car. So he said that he had to change his car in the back to a ladder bar, folding and stuff like that. That's what I'm asking. That's what I'm trying to get to, brother. I'm not trying to ask no more questions. Terry know I was asking. I was trying to ask him if they was laying too much power down to change the car around in the back because he got a dead spot in the tire.
Team Z's has got the car working that good, the suspension. It's stock suspension back there. So.
One more question for you. Does that car have traction control on it?
Doesn't it have traction control? I'll tell you right now, probably 90% of the fast cars out there do, but ours is hooked up.
So basically the traction control is controlling your wheel spin. It ain't going to let it spin anyway because it's being controlled now.
On some cars, depends. Most of the stuff, they're like the best. It's in almost all the computers out there. You just got to know where it's at.
Okay, so that's where all those race packs and everything like that come into play in cars now, because it controls all that. You can read all of that, right?
You got it. Yep.
Okay, no problem. Good. All right.
Yep, that was that. Like I say, Terry, I was trying to get it out you, but I'm gonna ask it to you anyway. You guys land some power down. In other words,
we are.
Yeah.
You can only make so much. I mean, every combo is different. You know, small block doesn't make the torque like a big block does. And, you know, that's what's easier on the line.
You guys got to get it off the line. Terry?
What's that?
I said you guys trying to get it off the line.
Right. You know, 60 foot. 60 foot,
yeah.
A lot, you know, a lot in the car, you know. If you gotta get, that 60 foot down to go fast.
That's what I'm looking for you to say. Y'all looking for that 60 foot. Because it's all part of, I know you don't want to bet your money, and that car ain't got that 60. Y'all want some 60 foot with the time that you guys run. So. That's the reason I asked it, because I didn't want to be no asshole and say, well, what y'all doing to y'all car? This and that, this and that, this and that. No, I don't want to know. All I want to see is go down the track and refresh some money on the side or something.
Right.
Hey, baby, look, stop saying that, please. Stop saying that. It's not making you an asshole for asking a question that you want to know. It's making you a smart
ass.
As a radio host, you want to come. Some of the questions you ask, they're not going to want to answer. Some of the ones you ask, they're going to answer. That's the ins and outs of being a talk show host. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, I don't want to go on Front Street and you know, be on Front Street with it. I just, you know, ask it in my own way that I would like to ask it to the man. I just wanted to hear him say what I wanted to say. They looking for a better 60-foot out of that car with the time that they got. Because they flying. They ain't riding, they flying. Them people flying over there, man. I ain't trying to hold nothing over there, none of that. If they in the show, if they rating somebody, guess what? I'm going to have me some money betted. Yeah, I likes that.
And again, like I was saying earlier, that's where a nitrous car has to take advantage of that turbo car right from the word go. He's sitting there. He know he can't apply it with his traction control and everything working the way it is. That nitrous car has got to get away from him. If he can get away from him, he's got a better chance on staying out there, you know, to make the race real good. But if he can't stay out there and if he can't apply that torque and get away from there with that 60-foot, then he's basically in trouble.
I mean, that's our goal eventually, you know, to hang with them nitrous cars, you know. Nitrous car is 60-foot better than a lot of turbo cars.
Don't just leave them like that there. Finish it. Let them know why the nitrous car is 60-foot better. It's just 9-day difference in a turbo as of right now. That turbo and the initial response to that nitrous hit.
My
turbo hit the sulfur.
I would say nitrous cars are a lot lighter.
And then again, like we was talking earlier about the torque, that nitrous can produce a whole lot of torque from that initial hit. The torque that it makes, if you got that motor in the right spot, when you put all that torque in there, you gone. That turbo can't put that torque in there like that. That turbo got to put that torque in there after it's done got spooled up and rolling on down the road, right?
Yeah. Not all. Yeah, I mean, whatever. I just, it's harder to get a heavier car going, you know? Most nitrous cars are lighter. You know, they don't have the water tanks and turbos hanging off the front. You know, I mean, we're over 3,000 pounds. You know, and to where most cars were racing, I would probably bet 2,600, 400 pounds is a big deal.
Yeah, you're right about that. That is a lot of power right there.
You know, but the weight's everything. Weight's a lot.
Terry, if y'all could lay that power down that y'all got right now in the lighter car, y'all be having a rocket. Y'all won't have a race car. Y'all have a rocket with y'all.
That's what I thought.
See them thrusters in the back of that rocket that goes out of space. We was talking earlier about I forgot who it was. I don't know if it was DC or Melvin. And he said when the Apollo went out of space, the first time it had two thrusters on the side of the actual plane to get it out of the ozone layer. Now, I told
orbit,
I didn't
that's
know
what you said.
Orbit, right, orbit. I didn't know anything about the two rockets on the side of it. Only thing I knew about was the three thrusters that NASA had that they have on the actual rocket. Thruster is 500,000 horsepower. They have three thrusters back there. That's 1,000,005 horsepower to go out of the ozone there in the orbit. That's a fucking rocket. That'll be a rocket, man. Horsepower, the horsepower there. Oh, man. Al, man. A motor builder told me, say, the faster you can run, the more you can breathe. I say, what you mean by that? He say, if you can breathe a whole, you can breathe fast, the faster you can run. That's what a motor is. Now, what you say about that, Terry? D?
I mean, same with the fuel. I mean, it all depends on the weather. You know, tune-up changes, you know, in the weather. If it's humid, if it's hot, if it's cold, if it's cool, you know, that's all going to change your tune-up, too.
Well, that's the whole conversation. I just wanted to know because I know y'all do a lot of racing and y'all have to tune the car fires different parts of the country and the air temperature and stuff like that. If you're below sea level, if you're above sea level and stuff like that, there's a lot of guys don't know that, Terry.
Oh yeah. Yep. I mean, our driver Aaron, he's got another channel kind of in his phone. It tells him everything, what's going on with the air and everything.
And you got to keep the crosswind on the track, right? You got to keep crosswind on the track because crosswind. I saw a crosswind take a car completely into the wall. He was on the run.
Yeah. Yep. So.
Okay. Yeah, man. I really do appreciate you calling in and supporting the show, man. I haven't heard you on your show, but I didn't know what was going on with that, but I ain't going to leave it at that. But I'm glad that you called in the show to hear your voice. I hadn't heard your voice in a minute, so glad you called in.
We're just trying to sit back and be quiet.
Right. Ain't nothing wrong with that, Jerry. Ain't nothing wrong with that, brother. Ain't nothing wrong with that, man. I just hope and pray that you guys tomorrow have a good outing, and you guys go out there and kick some ass for the North, so we can get some more respect up here. I'm gonna call it respect, cause guys from the South, they just bombarded and gave us a black eye out here, so. Hope you guys go down that team SBO. I wish you guys luck and get some wins for us, man.
Yeah.
Terry, are you gonna still run this show, or are you just taking a break right now?
No, I'm gonna start it back up. I took a new job. I started a new job,
okay.
And I had to work nights, so it was kind of hard for me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I started at 6 o'clock, so. Well, I'm getting ready to go back to day shift, so I'll start it back up.
Okay, well, you know, we're going to be on clock stop, and we're more than welcome to be over here. I just really like that.
I can't keep up with all the changing radio numbers and everything. I'm like, I didn't know. I called last couple Fridays ago, and there was no show, and I don't know what the hell was going on.
Hey, man, just come on over to clock stop, and you know, wherever we get you one number. We all under one umbrella.
So. I tried calling some other number, and it was said no shows, and someone else sent me this number.
Yeah, it's like a big number right now.
This is the right number to have. This is the right number to have because Uncle Larry and Dee talking to you. They got their show tomorrow. We got Motor City Mafia Sunday. So we moving, man. We going to move, and we going to support you also, Terry. You good people, man.
Good, thanks.
Terry, we're going to support you wherever you are. We're going to support you better when you come over to Clark's office.
What's that?
We're going to support you wherever you are. We're going to support you even better when you come over to Clark's office.
Yeah. I don't know about all these different things. Eh? We're just trying to support ourselves.
Yes. Just like I was telling earlier, man, these shows, to my knowledge, are supposed to be about enlightening those that don't know a little about drag racing, and those that do know, spread what you know about drag racing. Somewhere along the way, it's gotten turned around, and people think it's got to be a controversial thing in order to have a show, and I just beg to differ. You know, I don't think it needs to be. I don't think it has to be. I think the show should all be based on just drag racing knowledge and giving what you get, you know. If I come on here, I'm not going to have to argue with no one. I mean, I don't mind arguing with you as long as it's in a common tone and we get somewhere at the end of the argument, one of us has enlightened the other on something. That's my argument there. But just to be debatable with the person and to denounce someone else, I think it's crazy, man. We all these shows out there was for education and drag racing. No, we can't do them street no more. So we gotta gather. We either gather them on the corners and we can talk. We can't do that no more. So now we gotta gather them on the talk show.
Well, D, I think you said the most right there. You know, I think everybody needs to, you know, put their egos down and just be about one common denominator, and the common denominator is drag racing, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it's about, man. It ain't about no big eye, no little use. It's about what's at hand, man. And what's at hand is drag racing and making sure everybody gets to the track safe and make sure they family safe and they safe and stuff like that, man. Support one another, man. And stop trying to be more than what you are. You know, and that's what it's about, man. Anybody that I like. That's my personal preference, and that's what it is. It's my prerogative. It's not yours, so shit. I'm going to support them because I like them. Never did nothing to me. Mm-hmm.
The only thing, maybe in drag racing, you should do to another man is try to get my ass whooping, to hurt him. There shouldn't be no other way that we should be trying to hurt one another, denounce one another on these shows, other than the fact of giving a good ass whooping in drag racing. Now, if that hurts him, then he's in the wrong field. But drag whooping his car should be the only thing that should hurt. Everything else should be knowledgeable.
I think you make a good point. I think you make a very good point, Dougie, man. The fussing, the fighting, the arguments, I don't like to do that shit, man.
I got an announcement. I want anybody who got some nuts, meet me on the Skyway on the Skyway in 45 minutes. I'm going to take my bus and run them. They got five in the bus. That's
what I'm saying. You're up, man. You're up, man. I see days that announcement came on there and all of the city trying to get there.
Hey, see, I said that because that's what we used to do back in the day, man. It wasn't about the task size. It wasn't about how much fuel you burn. It wasn't about how much your car weigh. If you had a fat girl, you just wanted to make sure that she can deflate quick enough to get down in her mouth. Them big Cadillacs and Buick used to throw down. I'm in my Cadillac right now. Me and baby boy, we finna ride up on the Skyway. I'm looking for some trouble. Tell the police to meet me up. I'm gonna run the police tonight. Man, that's how I feel.
Hey, D,
I know I can get you to ride with me, dog. Hey, D, you ride with me.
Yeah,
I got you to the end.
Hey, that's what I'm talking about, man. That's what I'm talking about to the end, baby. That's all about having some fun, man. That's all I'm talking about, man. Just get out there and engage and have some fun. If I was young again, on that status like some of these youngsters, I'd be out there running down the street. But I can't run down the street no more.
Man, Kelly, like I seen days we would be out to 3-4 o'clock in the morning, Friday, Saturday. And actually, I have left on Sunday and leave the drag strip and go to work.
I know what you're talking about. I did the same thing.
Yeah, them days was good, man.
Those good days, man.
Cars have gotten to the point that it's just too fast for the streets. You know, that's the main thing that I see. It's just not, it wasn't safe then, and it's most definitely not safe now to be street racing. But we could do it at the track. They call it grudge racing. It's just a newer name for street racing. But we leave the egos out, and let's get some racing on, man. You know, that's why I said it last week, and I said it again this week. I probably see it every week that the conversation come up. That's why I give Wick props. When he get through the holler and smoking that funny cigarette, man, he going to try to run any and everybody. And that's what drag racing is supposed to be about. Ain't no hard feelings when he lose. He took an ass whooping here just last week. Man, come on in, first thing you see, you're talking about it for bad, you know. That's what drag racing is about. That's what it's supposed to be about. Somewhere along the way, we've just been turning around, and these shows, I think, in essence, to have turned them back the way it's supposed to be. That's to having fun and racing. Not make enemies, make friends.
Well, that's what it was about, man. You go up there, have you some fun, go on Whipple, from Whipple to Eisenhower to South Chicago to Dodie Road to the Skyway. I remember when I was a kid, they used to race on 55th or 40-something on by the projects over there. D, where the hell that was, D?
On the side of 43rd Street, Long Side Expressway there.
Man, dude, I remember, man, they used to race over there, man. Side of the project building over there, man. They used to race over there, man. Hold on, behind the amphitheater, we go over there, that's all the time.
Anywhere you can find a smooth strip, you race. You know, we as racers is the main reason that Kilbourne, Carloff, and the Kent Mill, we the main reason that they became one-way streets. Because we usually go behind them, but then the police come, all of us just make a V-line straight down Kilbourne to Roosevelt. So they came in and started turning the streets northbound. So we all have to go different ways. You know, then we had to run on the side of the track, Ralph Pulaski, and I think Ferdinand. Anyway, it was a smooth strip. If it was smooth enough to run it, hey, we would try it. But, you know, look at the main thing, cars just got too fast for the street now, you know.
Most definitely.
You almost balance the room, not too fast.
No, look, hurt yourself over there, kill yourself over there at 130. I say, man, now these cars way too fast for these streets now. And you know, Uncle D, man, it ain't nothing wrong with moving forward, man. I think cars today should be the cars you get from the dealer. Yeah, you can go on the street with them a little bit, but not too much, because some of them cars that you pay a lot of money and the horsepower those cars got, man, you gotta take those cars to the track. You ain't gotta worry about nobody. The police. Taking your car, taking it to the pound, crushing it, paying a big heavy fine for it, getting you multiple tickets for it, and all that old mess. Man, you just said a mouthful of wisdom there, brother.
Well, that's the advantage you got to going to the track, baby. You don't have to worry with none of that by going to the track. You know, but once again,
Now, I've said this many times. Back in the Pearl Vision days, man, when bootlegging was illegal, the government came along and the government said, you know what? We're going to make this stuff legal because we can tax it then and make money. So when they made alcohol legal, the percentage of sales went down. And the reason for it is because you're taking the sneakiness out of it. You take the creeping out of it. I'm like Luther and Steve, so you creep. If your old lady, if your wife would tell you today, baby, you can bring your girlfriend home, it wouldn't be as much fun as it is when you got to sneak and meet her. And I said that because drag racing was just seen like so much more fun when we had to rush to the burnouts, run to the staging lane, and get them off. I mean, we just had to, you didn't have time because you knew the police was coming. We would drop cars down in spots where we knew the police around the corner, but you still drop them trying to get it off. And that was just, it was so much more fun because you were sneaking. And I think that hurts racing right there at the court, at the track, because it ain't none of that having to look over the shoulder for the police officer now. But it's just
right.
So much safer. A car back in the days had 500 horsepower, a hell of a lot of power. Well, hell, you could buy you a CTS now with 556 estimated horsepower from the factory, you know. So that's the thing you're looking at. But, you know, to get on something else, baby, you had said earlier about your topic. Another thing you got to look at, cars are going to fuel injections now. That's another thing with fuel consumption, you know, for a certain amount of what you need.
So, you know, you got the cars now with the injectors in them, and back then you had the cars with the carburetors on them. They more efficient with the injectors because you burn less gas, use less gas. They got flex fuel. They got cars that's V8s, and then when you start running, then they stop, drop down to four cylinders, and then you got cars that use E85, and you got cars that, you know, you got a whole type of a tree of cars that use certain fuel consumption more so than what we really talking about, and that's the reason I brought it up, because I wanted to hear the people, you know, their personal insight on it, because I felt like, damn, if we came from carburetors to where in the winter time you had to pump your gas pedal to put some fuel in the carburetor bowl to make a fire, and now all you got to do is turn the damn key, turn the fuel pump on, and it's out.
Thank you, sir. I'm going to have you go get it. We got a little problem. It should be afraid by 10 or 15
minutes. Okay. Sorry about that, babe. I'm at work here, and the guy was trying to get my box now. Okay, I'm back in.
No, I was just saying, you know, the different, you know, fuel systems that they got going on today within just today, period, because you got everything nowadays. You got carburetors, you got fuel injectors, you got certain fuel that certain cars run on and stuff like that. So it's, I just wanted to hear everybody's different outlook of it, you know, so. That's the only reason I brought the topic up, you know. So I hope everybody learns something from this topic, man, because I have learned a lot when drag came on. Drag told me, you know, it depends on the car. It depends on what type of setup you have, and you told me the same thing. And that's what I wanted to hear, everybody's different opinions about it. You know what I'm saying, Uncle D?
Yeah, I hear you, baby. Like I said, I've been sitting here, and like my man said, some emotions need to stay in motion. And I've been allowed to sit here with no commotion going on, no noise, and then all of a sudden we get back into the topic. And these trucks are fired up, these cranes are moving, so I was trying to get out the way. But, yeah, all that, I mean, everything that's been said, man, so far I haven't heard
I heard no one say anything that was wrong. I think if I was right, some just said a little different than others. But all that makes a difference in the weight of the car makes a difference in the amount of fuel it consumes. You know, the way the fuel is set up makes a difference in the way it is consumed. The fuel lines makes a difference. Small lines versus big lines, 5/8 versus 3/16, 5/16, a half inch. All that makes a difference. I see some guys, they have taken a fuel pump and put them up front. They cut the fuel line down from the length of the car to a foot. Their fuel travel makes a difference in the consumption of fuel. You know, fuel regulators, how you regulate it, all that makes a difference in the consumption. And then it definitely boils down to the efficiency of that engine. You know, the head, the air, the gas mixture makes a world of difference in what that car is going to burn and what it's not going to burn. Because that's what dictates it right there. That's your dictation. That's the dictatorship to the engine, is your fuel to air mixture.
Yeah. Yeah. You just summed it up there, brother. Anybody else got anything enlightened on, or everybody going to sleep, or what we doing around here? What were we doing? Kind of like, where are you at?
Well, for those that's here, all you don't get tonight, brother, make sure you tune in tomorrow, 8 o'clock. You got the D and Larry show. Clocks off radio. Once again, we're doing it like we used to do it. Bring them on in. Give me a call tomorrow, 347.
Hey, I'm giving the call right now.
All right,
347-850-1016.
There you go.
That's the one and only Uncle Larry and Big D laying it down. I'm on the skyway waiting for some trouble.
Yeah, like I said, you're waiting for some trouble out there.
I'm waiting for some trouble, man.
You know, I know a guy like, you might remember this guy's name was Otis, man. Otis back there, they had a blue deuce he called True Blue. And I lost with him. We was on a 16th of Kilborn. Winfield flew out from my name, and we couldn't catch him. So Otis said, well, look, let's take it upstairs. We'll try it again. They got upstairs, and they do some sweet low sweet cherry on it. The further they run, the further that beauty can run into whatever. And, you know, by me being a beauty lover, that made it look even faster. But that going to show you a different car set up right there, baby. Winfield car was set up more so they run a quarter, and that dude was set up to stretch out.
Well, hey, I'm going to tell you like this, D. I got this Cadillac ready to stretch out right now. I'm ready to stretch this Cadillac out.
You know Winfield runs fast, Uncle D. You know Winfield, the fastest motherfucker I ever seen in my dad.
Back in Winfield's day, you can hustle.
Well, shit, my daddy got that choke. When he choked his ass, got doggy. He gave my daddy's friend when my daddy choked his ass.
Yeah, well, that hatchet could ride, man. That hatchet wasn't no joke. The daddy called the hatchet. It was trouble. Now, the drag race was just fun. Like I say, it was a street. You know, you on the street, and it was, anytime you're doing something illegal, it just seemed like it's more fun when you're sneaking doing it. And that's what I see it. We was doing back then. We were sneaking and racing. That's not good more fun than it was. And believe me, meeting up at the track now, I think this grudge racing thing is one of the best things that ever happened to racing, because it definitely gives us a chance to take street racing to the track.
Hey, D, I remember some of the nights, dude. I had to come out because my dad is tagging along, his whole family, man, and we used to come in the house and the next day. We win money, we go to here, we go to there. We go here, we go there, we come home, we got to go to school. You know what I'm saying? I remember those nights, man. We sitting on Ogden and Cosman. We sitting on Kilborn. We sitting on the Skyway. We pet the police. Let them go. Turn your head, man. Let them go. Get you some donuts and coffee money. Turn your head. Let them go. We out of here. Soon they go.
They used to be that way.
Yeah, that was good drag racing, man. I was a shorty, man. I was a baby. I was a pup, dude.
Man, baby boy.
I just got in from walking my dogs. I'm an hour ahead of y'all over here in D.C., and I hear these guys racing, and I think back when I used to have my Mustang. The only difference is these motors they racing now don't sound like it used to sound when I was a youngin', you know, back in 1990, 91. These little motors now, they sound like little small cars, but they racing. They out here racing, but I can't get into it like I used to when people would bring the Chevelles and the Malibus and the El Caminos. And, you know, they had something that sounded good. These little things they racing out here tonight, I'm not even interested. I know it's 20-some-odd years later, but back in the day when the guys would shut down Capitol Raceway, which is popular in the Maryland area, or the Buds Creek, they would bring them trailers down to the street races where I live and take their cars off, and they would run all night. But it ain't like it used to be. They sound like them things up there, they run on, sound like daggone Hondas.
Yeah. And that's funny you say that, D.C. What's happening, man? What's happening? Glad to have you in. That's funny you say that.
I've been on the whole night.
Yeah, glad to have you, man. I was just about to say the same thing. Remind you of the 80s and 90s when the big sloppy engine and all that cover, you just love that sound. And then you would hear when we used to call them buzz saws, here come one of the four-cylinder turbo things, like, bee, 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 you know, it was fast. But it just don't have that drag racing sound that you're so accustomed to hearing.
Exactly. And I mean, I've been living in the same block since 1975, and it's like what I'm hearing right now, I can't tell the motorcycles from the cars. So
yeah.
I mean, we used to walk, me and my guys, we would get together and we would walk before we started driving, we would walk up there and go see them guys race them big blocks and them, you know, the actual muscle cars. But this stuff, man, Fast and the Furious, that movie, and I ain't even seen the movie, but everybody want to get these imports now. The sound, just the sound kills it for me.
Yeah. Like I said, we used to call them buzz saws back in our days. And it just beep, 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 you know, ain't quick, but it's not like hearing that. That's what you want to hear, you know. You want to hear that camshaft rattling. You want to hear it snowing on it. I mean, we go to the racetrack. I was up at 66 here for the pro meet a few weeks ago. You know, they tell them bandits, man, they rattle your ears, but you want to hear it. It's got that drag racing sound that you're so accustomed to hearing. And when you're accustomed to something, it's just nothing takes the place. It's like me. I love countryside lemonade. There's nothing else I can go in the store and buy and quench my thirst like that unless I get some water. I don't care what drink I get, it do not take the place of a country time lemonade. And that's how we are with this old racing. And no matter how fast these buzz saws run, they could never fulfill a scratch our itch for that thump inside of that camshaft made back in our days.
Yes, sir. I mean, I see these guys. I mean, I started seeing these, you know, these imports come on. And I can't work on a car, but, I mean, back in the day, people build their cars. These people nowadays in this street race game that I see, they buy their cars. They don't know a damn thing about fixing them, but they buy the stuff to put on it. I mean, when I was a little younger back in the 90s or whatever, people had shops in their backyard, and they actually built a car. They could paint them.
Yeah.
They could fix them. I mean, they did everything. But
yeah.
these guys nowadays, they just go, they pay for their horsepower. It's not the same.
Well, it's like I was saying, baby, earlier. Back in the days, if you had a 550 cubic inch motor, not cubic inch, but a horsepower motor, you know, you had some horsepower. But hell, you can go buy you a CTS off the showroom floor today that's got 556 estimated horsepower. Hell, they don't know how much horsepower they ain't got. You know,
right.
With that gold supercharger.
Well, you know,
yeah.
Back then, too, the cars were steel and less than basically less than steel now. You can bump a 70 Cadillac and tear the bump off of it. You're going to damn near tear the half the building down. Now, you bump a 2015 a Lincoln town car, it ain't gonna do much to the building. So with the horsepower and stuff like that, it was weight. I think it was weight. I think it was go back to the fuel and stuff like that. That's the reason we got a good conversation on tonight, because I feel there's a lot of topics. There's a lot of things can be talked about, you know, with what you just said, you know. 500 horsepower yesteryear ain't 500 horsepower today. It's not.
Well, now,
I know they say, now listen now, Uncle D, they say 500 is 500. Now, you put 500 in the old SRT8 Dodge and put a same 500 horse in the 2015 SRT8. The new SRT8 going to be more efficient because you got good injectors. You got no lag. You can be all. You can have that carburetor all. You can have that carburetor quick as all you want to. You gonna have more steel on the older car.
The thing with that is that the horsepower gonna still be the horsepower. It's just here, Don got it tuning on yours. DC got John Ford's crew tuning on his, and I got myself tuning on mine. Well, law of average, just say I should come in third place.
Right.
That's the thing. The horsepower, all three of us is going to be working on a 500 horsepower cubic inch motor. They got this thing, I've seen it, and I think it's Carcraft Magazine, I believe it is, where they do all the different engines. They do the Ford, the Pontiac, the Chevrolet, the Buick, and they're limited to the cubic inches. And it all depends on how much horsepower each team can tune out of that engine. You know, so it's not going to be the horsepower determining the factor. It's determining what they can do with the horsepower, you know. Because like I said earlier, two cars make the same amount of horsepower with the same cubic inch, don't mean they're going to run the same EG. You know, it's what you can tune out and what I can't tune out and what I can tune out and what you can't tune out of that engine. Because getting the horsepower, getting the cubic inch, that's just the start of it. You can take as much horsepower as you can get. Hell, build you 2,000 horsepower. If you can't tune it to perform like a 2,000 horsepower cubic inch motor should perform, then I can take a 550 horsepower engine, and I run you with it because you get it. I put it this way. No engine in the world has as much horsepower as, say, a locomotive does. But look how long it takes to get going to try to get in the horsepower range. You know, so it's all in the tuning more so than just the horsepower. Weight is weight. You know, if I give you 4 quarters, I give you $1, you still have a dollar.
It's going to still be a dollar no matter what. It's still going to add up to the same thing if it's foal or jingle.
That's it. This is why you have guys going to a track now. And see, that's where not to get biblical, but the Bible says the earth, the world become wiser and weaker. And that's where you find it, even in this racing world. You got guys going to the track now when they take their tuners with them. As well, back in the days, you tuned your car to shop and you left it there. And whatever it did, the track is what it did. Now you got guys going to the track and they tune it for the track. They tune it in for the what the pros been doing this for years. You know, but look at what we're saying. The pros, this is their livelihood. It's not sporthood. And there's a difference. You tune in for the track. You leave that track and you tune in for a different track. I wish Terry was still on. He could contest to that spread what they're running, them turbo things. They're very finicky, you know. Now, once you get
right.
it set. I talked with Terry Duckwater years ago, a good friend of mine out in California. He was like, hey, Carl, once he went over to the turbo unit, he'd come out the trailer and park and go get him a beer. While the guys with the carburetor was over there just twisting and turning all day trying to get set for the track. You know, different day, different times of the day make a different answer with that turbo once it's set. It's set. So it's all the tuning.
Yeah. Like I say, man, I just want to see some good drag racing. I think we got another 60 seconds on this show. I think it's going to cut off in a minute. I haven't talked to Kevin. Kevin, are you here? Kind of like Joe. Hello.
Yeah, baby. Oh, yeah, man. Baby. I'm here, baby. I'm right here, baby. Can't you see me? What's wrong with you, baby? Baby, you calling me, baby. You calling everybody. I'm right here.
He had to take his glasses off for a minute.
I don't know what's wrong with baby, man. Baby,